And it really is time for that guy who sings that song. You know that song that we end every week's with, every week's shows with, called Don't Bogart Me, that we play by the great Robert Bradley in the Blackwater Surprise? Well, he's here in our studio, and he's going to be performing that live for us. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, yeah. Robert and Matt from the Blackwater Surprise. Good morning, you guys.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing?
We're doing great, man. Thanks for joining us. It was a real surprise to us when we got an email kind of out of the blue last week from someone who works, I guess, with your label or management or something, and said, hey, the guys are going to be in L.A. working on a new record. Mind if they stop by? And we said, hell yeah.
We're glad to, come on over because, you know, like I said, that song is very dear to me because, you know what I mean, because back in the 90s when I was hanging out with Kid Rock and everything, me and him was hanging out like about 93 or 94. And I went over to his house and, you know, how white guys had the best weed, you know. And so,
I didn't know that.
I could smell it, you know, man. And I said, hey, man, don't boogie out your joint. He said, oh, man, you know, that's a song, man. Won't you record that? You know what I mean? And it was a good thing, you know, and we had a good time with it, you know what I mean? And that was when me and him, you know, we got together and Matthew and everything. We worked on my first video together.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which I never seen yet. I haven't saw it yet.
It looks great.
You know? I mean, I wish somebody would describe it to me, but no, we had a good time doing that, and that's how that song came to be. And then about, I think it was like 1998, they had some big hippolation or something.
Right.
Party up in New York at the Wetland. They said, hey, Robert, you do this song, you can come up and I test out the best marijuana in America.
There you go. Fantastic.
At the Wetlands, and I went up there, and then, I swear, and then that song been in my heart ever since.
I've never heard that story before, that it was Kid Rock who introduced you to that song. Now, the song has its roots going all the way back to the 60s, right? It has been around for decades.
Oh, yeah, but like I said, you know, I mean, you know, after I left Alabama, you know, I quit listening to country music. I went to rock and R&B, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, therefore, when I got up there, I had never heard it before.
Right, sure,
and
sure.
He just told me, he said, yeah, man, that's a song. He said, you should record it. You know what I mean? And then 6 years later, that happened. You know what I mean?
And now, for folks who don't recognize the name, Robert Bradley's Blackwater Surprise, you guys have been around a long time, more than 10 years now. You got, what, 5 or 6 albums out there under your belt? And you guys are road dogs. You're out there all the time playing, right?
Yeah, I was out there for a long time. And what happened was, I decided to get married again, and I had some little kids, and I got tired of the road, and so I went to the state, and I got a job working for the state, and then what happened was I said, oh, man, I feel like I'm 25 because I had these little kids, and I was playing with them, and I got this job, and I had to lift it. I said, oh, I can do this. So I lifted up 3 cases of pop at one time.
Right.
Caught a hernia. Caught a hernia, had to have operation and everything.
No.
Then I said, the hell with this lifting pops. I'm going back to singing.
Robert's 57.
So I needed, I said, man, forget this job. I'm going back to singing. So I met Bruce Robert at Cherokee Studios and his production, and a friend of mine, he helped on the Lackawanna Blues stuff. And,
sure.
So, therefore, you know, we got a record there with Quarter to Three going to be coming out soon. We just been out here, and then somebody told
Michael told us about
that y'all was playing this song, and I said, what?
I got to tell you, we talked about this earlier this morning because I was asking Bean, how did we start playing this song at the end of our shows on Friday? And neither of us could even remember. I know it came from Bean. He was a fan, and he brought it in, and he wanted to play it. But it's
been years, though. Years. I mean, 7-8 years we've been playing it.
Since the beginning and the end of every Friday show. And we get people. We go do remotes and stuff. People sing along with it. It's just crazy. We can't even remember how it began.
Well, I just want to know which one of y'all was Bogarting the joint.
Hey, Matt, let me ask you this, Matt. Is it true, the story that I hear, that Robert was playing on the street, like as a busker or something like that, and maybe you and some of the other guys in the band found out about him and kind of hooked up with him that way? What's the real story of how you guys got together with him?
Oh, man, we was hanging out in Detroit recording in the White Room Studios, and Robert just be out on the street singing and playing on his guitar, and he always found the best spots in Detroit where his voice would reverberate.
Right.
So no matter where you are, you could hear him. You know, he didn't need no microphone, nothing like that. And one day we were trying to record. We had to shut the window because he was singing so loud. Then finally we said, man, we got to go down and check this guy out. We got to do something with him.
We either got to involve him in this or move studios.
Either hire him or get him to shut up.
Oh, man, we never want him to shut up. No, he's a beautiful man, and I'm very happy and feel blessed to be with Rob all these years.
Well, that's very cool, and we play it a lot, but our audience not super familiar with you, and we get emails all the time. Who is that? Where did that song come from? What is it? And we always try to point him to you, Robert.
You know, I probably got need to go outside in the parking lot and have a little bit
absolutely
of that.
Absolutely.
And then to get in it, you know, we always say, beam me up, Mr. Scotty.
Beam it.
Robert Bradley, Blackwater Surprise, in the studio with us. It was, for folks who weren't listening a few minutes ago, it was a completely unexpected, out-of-the-blue treat. We got a call from somebody from his camp that said, hey, he's in town working on a new record. How about if he stops by and does your Friday song live? And that's what we're proud to present for you right now. Mr. Bradley, it's all yours, sir.
Thank you very much. We're going to do this song that I hope I remember.
Go ahead.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one, just like the other one. This seems about to quit, and I need another hit. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it around. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Just pass it on down. Roll another one, just like the other one. Thing that I got to change. I like smoking reefer in the rain. Don't bogart that joint, my friend, and pass it around. Don't bogart that joint, my friend, just pass it on down. I don't bogart that joint, my friend, and just pass it around.
How about that?
Oh, awesome.
What a treat. What a treat.
Thank you, man. Y'all beautiful.
It's Friday. That means Ralph's got the movie beat today and the showbiz beat right now. Good morning, Ralph.
Yeah, we're going to do it.
Are we going to do it, Kevin?
No.
Psycho Mike and Ralph are going to do it. That's who's going to do it. That's the we that's going to do it. You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. The boys are on vacation. However, I am here to give you the latest and greatest in showbiz news with Ralph's showbiz beat. Psycho Mike, we have been fully and truly abandoned. There's no one else in this building but you and I.
Literally.
Kevin and Bean are on vacation. Lightning is just effed off today. He's not coming in.
It's Friday, yeah.
Super whore, Alex, our assistant producer. I haven't seen her in 2 weeks. I think she may have quit. She's not even around anymore. Dave the King of Mexico called and said he'll be rolling in around 6:30, 7 o'clock.
Yeah. And there's not even, like,
whatever,
janitors.
Whatever happened to the good old American work ethic, my friend?
Well, at least you and I are keeping it alive.
That's what I'm saying. Let's take a look at showbiz news, shall we? Gwyneth Paltrow is in the hospital. Apparently, she broke her right knee while working on the set of the upcoming comic book movie Iron Man. Her representatives tell TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website, that the actress has undergone arthroscopic surgery, so apparently she'll be up and around and shooting again soon, they hope. I wonder how she broke her knee.
That would hurt.
That would hurt a lot.
Real bad.
Sometimes when you drop your knees really fast, you know, you can break one.
No, sir.
No, sir.
Or if she's on her knees for a
no, sir.
Prolonged period of time.
No, sir.
Why are you talking like this?
I don't know.
Just saying. You could chip a tooth on Iron Man.
Hey!
Hey, what? What the? But I... Weirder and weirder is this story about WWE wrestler Chris Benoit and the tragic murder of his wife and 7-year-old son before he took his own life. This is truly, like, out of CSI, this next story. Apparently, on Chris Benoit's Wikipedia entry,
yeah,
it talks about the death of his wife, and it was posted several hours before authorities found the bodies.
Ugh.
So, somehow, some way, someone knew that she was dead before the cops even did and posted it up on his Wikipedia site.
Now, from what I know of Wikipedia, anybody can go in there and update it. So, but do they have a way of tracing back who was the person who made the update?
Wikipedia officials say they traced the entry to a PC internet protocol address registered in Stamford, Connecticut.
Now, he was in Atlanta.
He's in Atlanta, but listen to this. The WWE is headquartered in Stamford, Connecticut.
Oh, no.
So, they think maybe someone there knows more than they're saying.
Oh, man.
But that's pretty horked up. This thing just gets weirder and weirder. Speaking of weird, Paris Hilton flew to Maui yesterday. I guess she wanted to get away from all the scrutiny that's been on her since she got out of prison. However, you got to go to TMZ.com to see her disguise. She tried to travel incognito yesterday, apparently, at LAX before she flew to Hawaii. She's got a jet black witch's wig on. Straight, long, stringy, jet black hair,
yeah,
to cover her blonde hair. And she is wearing a straw hat that looks like it's the biggest straw hat you've ever seen. If you saw this a woman just with black hair and that hat, you'd have to pay attention to her as she walked through the airport. Worst possible disguise ever.
She looks like a transient woman who's dressed up as the Scarecrow for Halloween.
Yes.
I mean, it's obscene.
It reminds me of one of those bad movie comedies where someone's trying to disguise themselves in Mexico, and they put on a giant sombrero and a serape and a giant, like,
Pancho Villa mustache,
a big fake mustache, and then they think that's going to keep them undercover.
Yeah.
It's hilarious, really. She doesn't want to not be caught at all.
Now, Dr. Drew was talking about that last night on Loveline, how, look, if you really have had life-changing experiences in jail and you want to get more introverted and realize what your life's about, you don't dress up like, you know, in this ridiculous outfit and go to Maui immediately. Yeah.
Well, she's got businesses to take care of, too, apparently.
I'm sure she does. You
know, so apparently there's a lot of business in Maui she's got to handle. Lindsay Lohan's a mess. She is continuing her stay in rehab above and beyond the expected 30 days that she was supposed to be in there. Now we may know why. Apparently it was revealed yesterday from the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department that when she was pulled over for her DUI, where she allegedly hurt herself and was taken to the hospital,
mm-hmm,
she was twice the legal limit of alcohol in her bloodstream when she was arrested over Memorial Day weekend. And, shock, she also had traces of cocaine in her system.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good times.
I think she has a pretty good penchant for the cocaína.
I think she's in a world of trouble because once she gets out, there's going to be guys holding shiny little bracelets for her to wear. And they won't be from Tiffany's. You know what I'm saying, brother?
Yeah!
Yeah! And finally, what are celebrities afraid of?
What?
Star Magazine lists some of our most popular celebrities and what their deep-seated fears are. For instance, Johnny Depp, afraid of clowns. Desperate fear of clowns.
I guess that's a kind of a common one,
though.
It is
a pretty common one, believe it or not, because they're creepy. Clowns are creepy.
Yeah.
Even as a kid, I never thought clowns were funny. I was never afraid of them, but there's something creepy going on there. Nicole Kidman, this is a weird one, butterflies.
Well, that's just ridiculous.
Apparently, when she was raised on a farm down there in Australia, they had an enormous amount of butterflies. And sometimes she would come home from school and she would go through this field and the butterflies that were there would just land on her and cover her. It just completely wigged her out.
Speaking of landing on you and covering you.
Stop it, Gene
Nicole.
Simmons. Zach Braff is afraid of needles. Well, a lot of people are, yeah. Right? Orlando Bloom is afraid of pigs.
Why?
Because he slept with too many of them. Oprah's afraid of gum. Scarlett Johansson.
Oprah's afraid of gum because it has too low of calorie content.
That's right. She can't eat enough of it. Scarlett Johansson afraid of roaches. That's understandable. They're pretty creepy. Justin Timberlake's afraid of spiders.
Oh,
ooh,
goodness.
Spiders.
This is top-notch gay.
Yeah, it is. Christina Ricci, afraid of houseplants. Well, I can see why. They're treacherous. You never know in the middle of the night when one's going to wrap a root around your throat. And lastly, my favorite one, Pamela Anderson, afraid of mirrors.
Well, that's just insane. You look like her. You should embrace the mirror.
If I look like Pamela Anderson, that's all I would have surrounding me all the time.
And dildos.
Mirrors and vibrators. Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. Playing with my fun bags all day long. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Gary Busey.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. The guy, the fact that he's 63 years old and the amount of drugs he's done and just busted his head wide open on a curb, falling off a motorcycle all loaded and just amazing. He's still up and around.
That's a guy I know is fun to talk to.
He's a miracle.
You could just hang out with him all day.
Comedian Richard Lewis turned 60 years old today. He is going to be appearing in the upcoming season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which I've seen some highlights from on HBO this season. Oh, man, does that look funny. Looking forward to that. And Nicole Scherzinger.
Oh, goodness.
Of the Pussycat Dolls. She's the lead singer of the Pussycat Dolls. She is 29 years old today. You know what else about Nicole that I found out? She's sassy, but she's classy. That's what I found out from watching the next Pussycat Dolls show. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And our own Psycho Mike talked to the youth of America about America's favorite new jailbird. So I'm watching the TV the other day, and you know Paris Hilton's all over the news, can't get away from her, going to jail, it looks like, on June 5th. And we started having a conversation on the air about something that I saw, which is that Paris Hilton, an icon, of course, but an influence on young people. There are young people out there, Kevin, and you have daughters about the age that I'm concerned about, who look up to Paris Hilton and want to be just like her.
I don't believe that. I find that hard to believe.
Let's see what CNN and the child psychologist interviewed have to say.
Our girls are actually looking up to Paris.
Our teenagers are looking to her as a role model. We're not making this up. They're buying the magazines with her on the cover. They're buying anything to do with her. They're watching her reality show. Young girls are interested in her.
A Newsweek cover story titled Girls Gone Wild looked at the effect the exploits of Paris and her crew were having on American girls. You won't believe how young girls are when they start their Paris worship.
Fifth graders who are carrying giant purses with little tiny stuffed dogs inside them. And first graders who use words like sexy and talk about sexy song lyrics. In a lot of ways, they're really appealing to young girls. They're completely uninhibited by parents and curfews and school. They do whatever they want. They're beautiful. They wear fabulous clothes. They all seem to have boyfriends and nice cars and great cell phones. So you can see why they would be appealing to girls.
So be like Paris. I think that's the message of the Kevin Abid show that we're taking away from, right?
I don't think that's the message. I'm pretty sure it's not because she's a whore.
Well, we wanted to find out for our own selves, what do little girls in Southern California think about Paris Hilton? So we went to Psycho Mike, who really gives us the hookup with the preteens. I don't know why. I don't know how that happened. I don't know why he's our guy, the go-to guy, but Rodney won't talk to us. So Mike, what's the...
who's your sample here? I exercised maybe the most in-depth and thorough examination of a young female mind that you could possibly get without Chris Hansen walking out and asking you how your lemonade tastes.
Okay, is, good. You do want to
that's
stop
not
just,
a euphemism.
Just short of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I coach a little league softball team. And the bottom, the ceiling number of the age here is 9, and the bottom is 9, and the top being 11. So
okay,
we're talking the tweens, the exact same people that this study, this last little clip that Bean was talking about, was analyzing.
Okay.
And I asked them, it was a double-blind study. I didn't prep them at all. I took them all alone. I walked them into a hallway at the batting cages yesterday, and I asked them, do you know who Paris Hilton is, and what do you think about him?
Okay. So no peer pressure. It's not like one girl heard another girl saying good or bad things and then follow. This was all independent study.
Exactly. And I had to I forced the girls that I first talked to. I said, don't go and tell the other girls what I asked you. Just, you know, leave it alone, okay? And we had some argument off the air about this a couple days ago. And some of us speculated that girls are influenced by Paris Hilton. Some of us speculated that, you know, she wasn't an icon to young ladies. None of us, I don't think, thought that girls at this age would have no idea who she was. In fact, that was what I found.
You're kidding.
Overwhelming.
That's great news. That's fantastic news.
Listen to this first clip.
Do you know who Paris Hilton is?
No.
Do you know who Paris Hilton is?
No.
Do you know who Paris Hilton is?
No. What?
Do you know who Paris Hilton is?
Nope.
No.
You don't?
No.
Okay.
No.
You don't?
No.
Who's a girl that you look at and you say, I want to be just like her when I grow up?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, thank you for your input.
Oh, my God.
So now that I'm getting this...
See, my theory, if you don't mind just for a second, theory is that these people in the media, CNN and the psychologist, have been doing this story... With every hot chick that comes along, they take for granted, blah, blah, blah. And the psychologist isn't going to be on CNN. But right. She doesn't give them what they want. So she says, oh, yeah, everybody looks up Paris Hilton, blah, 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 blah. I don't think it's true. None of your girls knew it. Right?
Yeah. No, don't get wrong. There's 12 girls on the team. 9 of them did not know who she was. That's a pretty big percentage when it comes down to it. So now I'm starting to get the ball rolling. And I really want to dive into the meat of the issue here.
Who's the best little league coach in the world?
You.
Yeah, it's good to know.
Come on.
See what I'm saying?
Mike, how does that help us?
Not every interview we send you out is about how much they like you.
Yes, it is, Bean. I can't help it. If that's what my interview subject happens to lead me to, I'm sorry.
Do you remember his Heroes interview where he talked the entire time about him?
Okay, that's not the matter at hand. Rarely at this young an age do you see someone... so informative and articulate as this next girl.
Do you know who Paris Hilton is?
Yes.
What do you think about her?
She's weird and crazy and dumb.
Why do you say that?
Because she's weird and crazy and dumb.
You make a very valid point.
You can't argue with that kind of logic. I love that.
Oh, these are great kids.
Yes, no, they're the best. They're the best little girls. This next girl is one of the girls who does know who she is, and I was actually blown away by, and I don't mean this sarcastically, about how much she knew about the issue at hand with Paris Hilton and who she was, and kind of had such a adult view on why she doesn't deserve fame and accolade.
I don't really think she deserves all the fame.
Oh, that's a good answer. And why do you say that?
Well, because her grandpa was famous, not her.
So would you say that when you grow up, you'd want to be like Paris Hilton?
No.
Very good.
Good for her.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Then there's Harvey Levin's kid who happens to be on my team that I didn't know is like reading Us Weekly and TMZ.com
okay.
left and right.
You're joking about
that. Oh, yeah.
That.
I mean, exactly. Okay. But I'm saying this girl, like, come on. At this age, how do you? I mean, come on.
What do you think about her?
She's a moron and going to jail.
Why do you think she's a moron?
Because she drives when her license is suspended.
Would you say you like or dislike Paris Hilton?
I dislike her.
Why?
Because she's not a good role model for little kids who look up to heiresses.
Who is?
I'm going to have to say Jennifer Lopez because she just, like, does smart things with her money and doesn't, like, show off with it.
11 years old, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, she's a ringer.
Yeah.
You got to be 19. Yeah. 1920.
Yeah, she's wow. working for TMZ.
If you're, that's if impressive. You're looking for some hope in the young people, I think we found it here today. This is outstanding news. I'm so happy to hear
all,
this.
All kidding aside, I really do have a much more optimistic appraisal of like our young youth, our youth in America here today after doing this study, because you realize the media might try to spread this idea that kids are growing up too fast or that they're overly sexualized. And what I realize is a lot of these 10, 11-year-old girls are 10, 11-year-old girls.
Right.
They have crushes on boys, but they're too young and embarrassed to admit it.
Right.
They watch Hannah Montana, and they don't really have any idea what's going on in the political world or entertainment industry, and they don't put that premium on celebrities that we do, which is great to know. And you know, to wrap things up, I really, like I said, I wanted to make sure that I hammered down the important issues.
Who's the best little league coach in the world?
You.
That's what I thought.
Well, at least we settled that.
Thank God we got that information.
So, bottom line is that we argued that some girls look up to Paris Hilton, some girls don't. At this age, I have to say Kevin and I were right that for the most part, they don't. And even to take that a step further, they don't even know who she is. But I will say, and I think Lisa was most vocal about this, that this sample of girls might not be the most representative of the
right.
type of girls out there that are going to look up to Paris Hilton at that age.
Because they're playing baseball.
I'm guessing
yeah.
if you
not at the mall.
Got the mobs of girls at the mall on a Friday night.
Maybe.
you get a different answer.
Maybe. And by the way, I don't think CNN's pushing any kind of an agenda. I just think they're lazy. They
right,
just,
and they're looking
Paris
for a story.
Hilton. Oh, well, all girls look up to it. We better do a story on that.
There's no story in young American girls are just like young American girls. I mean, right. you know, right. you have to have some type of story. I mean, right. maybe if you talk to the girls, you see, the 11-year-old girls you see on Jerry Springer with the smeared red lipstick and the belly top saying, I do what I want, and my mom's a slut, so I don't care. I mean, those are the type of girls that you'd probably get a probably. Different answer from.
You know what's weird? You know what's sad is you hear these girls, and they seem smart and articulate, and they're athletic. They're out there playing ball and stuff like that, you know, and you really, it gives you a lot of hope. But, you know, some of those girls on your team, like 5 or 6 years from now, are totally going to be whoring it up, just like Paris. You know that. You know you're going to lose a few, Mike, but I'm glad you're there to do what you can for them.
Well, I'm just happy to say that at this age, these girls are willing to go out and break a sweat in some way that doesn't involve a night vision camera. So.
Time for an update with America's other favorite new jailbird. Oh, wait, he didn't go to jail. He got off, right? I mean, he was acquitted.
Ralph brought up a story last week that seemed odd to us, but the magazine Sister to Sister, Sister to Sister, which of course I get on a monthly basis,
sure.
Said that Michael Jackson is a great father, father of the year. Michael Jackson.
No.
Based on
Jamie Foster Brown, who publishes the magazine uh-huh. and traveled with him and his children in Japan. And she says that he is an amazing father.
Okay.
More so than you and I, she said.
Well, if she means he can relate to them on a childlike level, I'll give him that.
Nope. Father of the year, Michael Jackson.
Well, that certainly flies in the face of everything we've grown to think about Michael Jackson, but why not bring MJ on himself and talk about this very troubling story? Michael, Kevin Amin here. How are you?
Woo! Sam out!
Father of the year?
Because I'm bad. I'm bad. You know it.
Woo! Michael, this
get out!
Right. This. Okay. This sister to. Sister to Sister magazine sounds like it's something to do with black hair products. I mean, what is this a reputable magazine? Is this something we should be paying attention to if they make an outrageous claim like this?
That was very, very devilish of you to say. Sister to Sister, or Sister to Sister, as Kevin would say. It's a very reputable magazine for African-American women.
Okay. Right. So this Jamie Foster Brown, this is someone you know you've actually spent time with, the lady who wrote the article?
Yes. She spent many hours with me and my children, and she finally recognized that I am the father of the year.
Prince mm-hmm. Michael 10, Paris 9, and Prince Michael II, which is my favorite, yeah. is 5 years old. She spent a lot of time with you, and she says that they're not privileged at all.
No.
Michael Jackson's kids,
oh,
not privileged.
That's insane.
They're not privileged. I make them save up their allowance money in order to buy the Halloween masks and veils that I put on them.
I don't just make them wear.
They have to earn those.
How much is their allowance?
Well, about $100,000 a week.
They're intelligent. They're not privileged. They're extremely well spoken. They like to play jokes, she said.
They are jokesters. They are so funny. Sometimes they'll say, Daddy, dangle me over a balcony.
Really?
And I say, okay, again? I go along with it, because I'm the father of the year.
She says, quote, he just seems to be a good parent, more so than most of us.
Yes, I'm a much better father than you are.
But...
Yes.
But...
True.
But
do you discipline your children?
Constantly. Constantly.
That doesn't sound right either.
I just... never stop beating.
Michael, let me just spell it out for you because we're kind of dancing around here. Most people have this impression that you are a terrible and inattentive father, but that's why this article is such a surprise to us, because we don't picture you as being really involved with them in any kind of legal way.
I am very hands on.
That's what I was afraid of. That's what I'm saying.
That brings up the charges.
How dare you?
Against you, which
dare you take that comment and turn it into something disgusting?
Well, hands-on for most people is something different than it is for you.
Yeah. No, I am a hands-on father.
Yeah.
And I love my children.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me.
What do you got there, Mike?
Pube.
Okay.
I love my children.
Yes.
I couldn't ask for better bait in the world than those three kids.
Did you say bait?
children. I meant kids.
You said bait. No, you said the word bait.
It's amazing at school. The kids just come running. Oh.
So they...
I'd like to be father to all the children
in
the world.
I bet you would.
In a land without clothing.
That makes us all uncomfortable, Michael.
My new ranch, Never Dressed Land.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. And from time to time, we have our regular callers call in, and they give us a bombshell. Everything from this moment on will be different. First, our friend Dewan from Los Angeles is on the phone. How you doing, Dewan?
Good, thank you. What's up, Kevin and Bane and Lisa?
Hi, Dewan.
Hey, Dewan, last time we talked to you, we didn't have time to get into this, but you told us that you were thinking of a career change, that you were thinking that maybe your time working at a movie theater was running out. Is that still the case?
Yeah, I want to work In-N-Out instead.
That's a great choice. In-N-Out is the best.
Oh, it's so popular.
Why In-N-Out? Why did you decide on them?
I'm interested of it. Mm-hmm. They get paid a little more money than the movie theater.
They do. They get paid more than most fast food restaurants, I think. And yeah. They have the world's best employees.
But you don't get to see free movies.
It's a private company, too.
Is that good for you?
Yes.
Okay.
The family members still own the In-N-Out company.
Okay, and that's what you look for in a fast food restaurant that you work at?
Dwan's done research.
Yeah.
he's making a stand to keep America strong. Hey, what about what Lisa said, Dwan? Are you willing to give up the free movies?
I believe so, yes.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
How about if we go through a little training, Dwan? How about if you are the drive-thru operator and we're pulling through in a car? Let's try you out quickly.
Sure.
So you're an In-N-Out, you're working the speaker, and we just pull up. Go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead.
All right, may I help you?
Dewan, is that you?
No, Bean. We're just acting like we don't know him.
Oh, okay,
we don't know.
All right. Let's try it again. Kevin and I and Lisa, we're all in a car. We're pulling through the drive-thru. We pull up to the little window, and then you say what?
Welcome to In-N-Out. Can I get you supper for you, please?
And I say, Lisa, get your hands off of me.
I can't help it.
Oh. She's so grabby.
Yes, sir. We'd like the 4x4.
You want onions with that?
I'd like it animal style, please.
Oh, sure. You want fries and a drink with that?
Yeah, I'd like animal style fries as well.
We have to charge additional charge for that.
Okay, that's fine. I'd like to pay more.
Oh, that's fine, sure.
Okay, Bean, you...
is fine.
Hold on, wait, we're not done here. Hey, In-N-Out, we're three of us.
Dwan, I'm a little bit confused because I don't go to the In-N-Out Burger, but what does it mean when Kevin asks for the 4x4? What is that? Is that something that's on the menu?
Yes, secret menu.
Ooh, he knows the secret
menu. Dewan's got the secret menu memorized.
Nice.
And what is animal style? How does that differ from the way things are normally prepared?
You cook it. First, you put mustard on the meat and you fry it.
Right.
And then you chop onions on there with pickles. Tomatoes, everything.
Dude, Dewan knows his stuff. And the 4x4, of course, is the 4 patties and 4 cheese.
He's the best prepared employee ever.
Times 3 patties.
Nope, 4 times 4, my friend. 4 by 4.
3 by 3.
Nope, 4 by 4.
Okay.
I'd like the 4 by 4, not the 3 by 3.
Well, they do call it the 4 by 4, if that's any indication, Dewan.
Right.
Hey, Dewan, this is Bean here in the car, and I don't eat the cows, so I was wondering if you have anything that's vegetarian that I can order that's maybe not on the menu.
What kind of drink you like with that?
Wait a minute. Wait, he's asking you if there's something that's vegetarian.
Oh.
Yeah, do they have...
anything without meat?
Offer him a grilled cheese. You guys do that.
Try the grilled cheese or veggie.
Okay, the veggie sounds good. The grilled cheese sounds good. You know what? I'm going to take one of each. Lisa, what would you like?
I am really hungry, Dewan.
Yes.
I would like the protein style.
You want onions with that?
Sure.
Now, you know what the protein style is. That's not on the menu either.
What is that?
Secret.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's a secret to most people, but you should know it working there.
Can you tell me what it is?
It's like no bun.
Yes, it is.
That's exactly right, Dewan. You are unbelievable.
Dewan spends his life at In-N-Out, and I love that.
He
knows the protein style has no bun.
Dewan, you're so smart. You know, most people don't know all of this stuff until they've already been through the training in In-N-Out, but you've managed to pick it up on your own. That's very impressive.
Thank you.
What's our total?
Your total is You're together, you and Lisa?
Yes.
You know it, baby.
You total like 1040, please.
Okay, how much is beans?
Yours about 535.
535.
Okay. Seems like a lot for just a grilled cheese, but okay.
All right, what do we do now? Do we
have
pull
the veggie
forward?
Veggie too.
That's right.
Pull forward to the second window, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hey, Dwight, is there an In-N-Out Burger near where you live that you're going to go down and apply at?
Yes, and there's one in Westwood I apply.
There you go.
We got to go, but if you need us to, you know, be a reference for you or to speak on your behalf, you just let us know. We'll be happy to take care of that, all right?
Oh, thank you so much.
You're very knowledgeable, Dwan. Thank you.
Later.
Get Bye some now. Sleep. Bye-bye. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Hey, it's 6:56 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. The boys are on vacation. However, I've been here all week along with Psycho Mike, bringing you the latest and greatest in showbiz news on the Showbiz Beat. We'll be around next week, too. Of course, 4th of July weekend coming up. The big Transformers opening is next week as well. I want to thank all the K-Rock listeners who came out to the advanced K-Rock screening of Transformers last night. We had a blast watching that movie, and I would like to thank the good people at Paramount Pictures and DreamWorks Pictures who sent me my new toy. They sent me an Optimus Prime voice changer helmet. Looks just like Optimus Prime, and it changes my voice. Hold on a second. I'm going to put it on. It's cool.
Ralph brought up a good point that it's so clearly not for children. It's the size of Kevin's head. I mean, it's made for adults because they know how cool it is, and every adult's going to want to play with it.
I am Optimus Prime. Psycho Mike, I can dominate you with my robot body.
Yes, you definitely could.
I want to let all the K-Rock listeners know how they can see Transformers before the movie opens on the 3rd.
How, Optimus Prime? Tell me.
ArcLight Theaters. All right, I'm taking this off.
No way to get information out with that. The ArcLight Theaters, my favorite place to see a movie in all of Los Angeles, has a special event happening July the 2nd, the day before the Transformers opens in other theaters. Here's what's happening. They're doing what they call a pull-in all-nighter in the best theater in Los Angeles. Beginning at 8 p.m. on July the 2nd, the ArcLight will start showing Transformers all the way through into the morning of July the 3rd. So they're going to have screenings all night long. You can go to 2 o'clock in the morning if you want to. And the great thing about the ArcLight is, first of all, it's just it's an 86-foot widescreen. It's got the best JBL sound system with 44 speakers in the theater. And you get reserved seats. It's like going to a concert. Right. You go online, you buy your tickets for the ArcLight, and you can pick where you want to choose, and that seat is reserved for you. So you don't have to worry about getting there early so you don't get screwed out of a decent seat. You can buy it online. So go to ArcLightCinemas.com. ArcLight, ArcLight, cinemas.com, and pre-buy your tickets for the 2nd if you want to see Transformers before everyone else does. So.
That ArcLight really is first class all the way.
It really is.
It's head and shoulders above.
And they've got a full bar and restaurant there if you want a cocktail or something before the show. Apparently, the restaurant's going to be open until 2 a.m. The night of the 2nd. And then they open again at 9 a.m., so they'll be serving breakfast if you want to eat when you get out of the theater. So you can see it all night long on the 2nd. It's just a great opportunity to see what is an excellent, excellent movie. We really enjoyed it last night. I'll be talking more about it next week when it comes out. But very exciting stuff. So there you go. Gwyneth Paltrow is sick. Well, not sick, but she's in the hospital. She broke her right knee while on the set of filming the upcoming comic book movie Iron Man. TMZ.com says the actress has undergone arthroscopic surgery and hopes to be back on the set soon. But that sounds painful.
I guess she's not made of iron.
Whoa!
Yeah.
How do you do it? Paris Hilton flew off to Maui yesterday dressed in a black wig and a giant straw hat.
That's hot.
No, it's not, Paris. If you go to TMZ.com, you can see the photo of her at LAX. She looks like an ass. Apparently trying to travel incognito on the way to her vacation in Hawaii. I think producer Alex said it best when she said she looks like something from Gilligan's Island. Looks like something Marianne would be wearing down by the lagoon when Skipper and Gilligan are looking for the robot.
And at the, you know, the luxurious first-class international lounge at LAX, does she really need a disguise?
Yeah, come on. Who's bugging her there? They already have pictures of her, so obviously paparazzi knew it was her. What was the point? Other than looking like a total tool. Britney Spears is just furious about this whole Paris Hilton thing, you can tell. She is desperate to get in more trouble so that everyone's eyes can be back on her.
I agree.
According to Star Magazine, she's currently driving her Mercedes CLK 350 with no front or back license plates. She's just driving around without plates. She's begging to be popped. She just needs someone to notice her so desperately.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Along the same lines, Lindsay Lohan starting to open up about her issues in rehab. Star Magazine says that the actress says a lot of her drinking has come from her bad choices in men.
Mm.
And apparently she blames that on her bad relationship with her father. She also thinks she needs a couple drinks to loosen up when she's in public because she gets very nervous.
I will say, I mean, her father is and her mother both are coming out to be renowned douchebags.
Yeah, she's got horrible parents. But still, I don't think in rehab is the time to start blaming your drinking on other people.
Especially if you're a public figure. Let's just, you know, keep that mum's a word.
It is and it's one thing to have a couple drinks to loosen up in public because you're nervous. Another thing to get so hammered you pass out in the passenger seat of your friend's car and cannot be awoken.
And yeah, and egregiously shovel blow into your nose everywhere you go.
Yeah. She's going to stay in rehab a little bit longer than initially we all thought.
Which I think is a good idea because of her age. I mean, she might need, and her situation, I think it is a good idea that she stays around.
Stay in there till you get well, you know, whatever it takes. Hot TV shows, it is the summertime, meaning a lot of the big TV shows are on hiatus because of the summer vacation. However, last week's Nielsen's show you that we still live in a reality show world. Top 10 movies, TV shows from last week. So You Think You Can Dance, number 10. You ever watch that show, So You Think You Can Dance?
No.
There's a real hot blonde British broad who hosts it. I like her.
I'm sure she's immaculate, but I've never watched
it. Speaking of hot chicks, last night in that Transformers movie, you got Megan Fox, who plays Michaela, the lead in it, who's just...
Everybody knows she's insane, but I think I know where you're going with this.
This Australian scientist, this
Holy blonde Australian scientist,
how hot was she?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I'm not ruining anything if you haven't seen the movie. Of course you haven't because it hasn't opened yet, but she plays like this... She's a genius in figuring out electronics codes and signals.
She's
and
like
stuff.
Like some type of hacker, young hacker.
She's some sort of nerd.
Yeah.
And she's just a smoking hot Australian, which never happens. God bless Michael Bay.
It's. I hate to poke fun at her or say anything disparaging about it, but it almost takes you out of the movie how hot these girls are.
Yeah, because she's surrounded by two nerds on either side of her who are like fat guys with beards who are techno geeks, and she's sitting in the middle saying, I think I know how to solve this.
Alex is pointing at her name is Rachel Taylor.
Rachel Taylor. Well, God bless Rachel Taylor.
God bless God for making Rachel Taylor.
Yes. Although she does have a tattoo on her neck, I noticed.
Oh, then I won't have sex with her.
I can't have sex with her.
She's below me.
Megan Fox has tattoos, and now Rachel Taylor has tattoos.
All of them are trashy.
I will not have sex with them. CSI Miami, number 9 on that list of hot TV shows. Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Number 8, Two and a Half Men. Number 7, Law and Order. SVU, number 6. Number 5, CSI Regular. Vegas. NCIS on number 4. Fourth highest rated show, NCIS. You know who stars in that show? Ralph Harmon.
Ralph Harmon.
Yes. Deal or No Deal, number 3. Dateline NBC was number 2. And then America's Got Talent, the number 1 show in America.
I may be totally off base. I might not have been paying close enough attention. I did not hear any ABC shows. Did you mention some?
Let me take another look here. ABC, 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 not in the top 10. In fact, Psycho Mike, as I peruse the top 20, not one ABC show from last week.
I mean, it's just an observation. I was watching TV thinking about all these hot shows and everything. And
it seems like they're
totally getting buried, you know, and I'm not trying to
ABC, I'm willing to fix that. But give me a call. We'll talk. I'll put a smash hit on TV.
So keep listening for a chance to qualify for that. Right now, Ralph Harmon's got the showbiz beat. Hey, Ralph.
That was Bean yesterday. Bean called me Ralph Harmon. That's how much he thinks of me. Ass. Today's celebrity birthday is Gary Busey. He's 63 years old today. Comedian Richard Lewis turned 60. Don Dokken of Dokken is 54. That's for you, Psycho. You're very welcome. Maria Conchita Alonso turns 50 years old today. Evelyn Champagne King is 47. I'm just going to read every possible name I can come up with. And, of course, Nicole Scherzinger.
Yeah, that's
from the Pussycat Dolls. She's 29 years old. I wonder if she has any tattoos. I wonder if Dave would have sex with her.
She totally does.
Oh, I would not have sex with her.
She has sassy but classy on her right butt cheek.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We like to waste our company's money on long-distance phone calls here at K-Rock.
But apparently we still don't have the biggest phone bill in the world as much as we try.
This story comes out of Kuala Lumpur. It's a real story. We found it on MSN. A Malaysian man said he nearly fainted when he received a phone bill
and was ordered to pay up within 10 days or face prosecution. The phone bill was for $218 trillion. With a T.
Wow. Doesn't it seem like they ought to give you some sort of payment plan if it's $218 trillion?
Like 2 months?
Yeah. You ought to spread it out over like enough. 8 even payments or something like that.
Something like that. We actually have Yahya Wahab on the phone. Good morning.
Yahya.
Hiya, Yahya.
Yes.
Hiya.
Hiya, Yahya. How are you?
Hiya.
Hiya, Yahya. How are you? You been to Hawaii?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Now, Yahya, you got this...
Hiya.
Right. You got this phone bill for...
Hiya.
Right. That's your... Yahya is your name.
Yahya.
Right. Okay. Right,
Wahab
is your last name, right?
Wahab, okay. Right? Okay.
You got this phone bill for $218 trillion.
Yeah, that's too much.
It's too much.
I don't have that kind of money.
You don't have that kind of money?
Who does have that?
Who does have that? Right?
Nobody. That's nobody. True. Nobody has that. I mean, it's more money than anyone has in the whole world. So, what was your reaction when you opened up the envelope of the phone bill?
I said to myself,
That's a
you
yes.
don't have that kind of money.
You don't have that kind of money, right.
Now, this was apparently your late father's phone.
My father's phone was turned off.
He died in January.
He did.
You think it was turned off, but apparently it was ringing up a $218 trillion.
How can that be? He dead.
Well,
that's what we're saying. He's
how
dead.
How can he be your phone? He dead.
Right.
He didn't make phone calls.
But even if it wasn't disconnected, how can you make $218 trillion worth
that's
of it?
That's what Yahya is saying.
Right.
Okay. Hey, Yahya, what was your father's name?
My father's name was Long Duck Dong.
How about that? I'm sorry we lost him. I'm very sorry for your loss.
And I say, where can they come up with that number?
It does seem like a lot.
Well, the other bill was $23.
$23, right.
That's 84 ringgit.
Ringgit is that's the money there, right?
Yeah.
Ringgit. Yeah. So,
and I said, maybe he's calling from heaven long distance. Correct. And it called one phone call, $218 trillion.
That's a lot for a phone call, though, even from heaven.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
I didn't accept the charges.
I think you're right. I think it's a mix-up. You know, for $218 trillion, there ought to be some sort of happy ending.
That's what I say. Why don't I have full sex for that kind of money?
Yeah.
You can have phone sex for a hell of a lot less than $218 trillion.
I could have like a midget with no limb or something.
Oh, I don't know that we need to get...
It would have to be specialty phone sex.
Yes, it would. For that
you have to drill a hole in the phone and actually okay. have sex with it for
right.
that
Right. We don't want to hear about that. Listen,
so
you
I Telecom Malaysia.
Yes?
And I said, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that kind of money.
Right. What was their response?
They said, you go to jail. You don't pay up the money.
You're going to go to jail if you don't pay
Then I face prosecution.
You face what?
Prosecution.
Yahya, there's not 208.
It's Yahya, yeah.
Yahya, there's not $218 trillion in the entire country of Malaysia, is there?
Right. So I said to them, I can give you $8.
Eight.
Deal? Or no deal?
People, you're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean here on the world famous K-Rock. Kevin and Bean are on vacation, enjoying the long 4th of July holiday, and I hope you're enjoying it as well. Speaking of cool things to do this weekend, I want to give you a heads up and let you know that this weekend, K-Rock is giving you the opportunity of a lifetime. By now, you probably know the Smashing Pumpkins are reunited. Well, two of them anyway. They got two new members. They've got new music. They've got a new tour going on. You've been hearing Tarantula been playing here on K-Rock. Well, starting at 8 o'clock today and lasting all weekend long, every time you hear the Smashing Pumpkins, and you're caller 20 here to K-Rock at 1-800-520-1067, you will be boarding the K-Rock jet to San Francisco to see the Smashing Pumpkins.
Nice!
It's really a cool prize. The trip includes a winner and a guest of your choice. You get airfare, round trip, you get a hotel. You get two tickets to see the Smashing Pumpkins at the Fillmore. Fillmore, of course, one of the classic rock venues
legendary,
of all time.
Legendary venue.
You got $106.7 in spending cash.
which in San Francisco can get you an excellent time.
Who wants some man meat?
I do. I want some man meat.
That's what I'm saying. You got to be 18 or older to win, though, so keep that in mind before you call in, will you? 18 or older to go on this trip. It's the Smashing Pumpkins K-Rock Jet to San Francisco. It's going to be an amazing time, starting 8 o'clock today, lasting all through the weekend. As I mentioned, keep listening for the Smashing Pumpkins, Be Caller 20, and you win. It's just that simple. But in case you missed it, here's some more details.
K-Rock. All weekend on K-Rock.
Wanna go for a ride?
Sam in San Francisco. Every time
I hear Smashing Pumpkins,
call 20 at 800-520-1067.
Board the Southwest Jet to see them live in San Francisco.
Hi, it's Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins.
World famous K-Rock.
It's time to get a little heart-to-heart conversation going here.
I can't talk right now, man. I'm watching Hostel 2. It's so sweet.
We were talking a couple days ago about movies that make guys cry. And Dave, the King of Mexico, who's in our studios right now, he brought up a movie that we all kind of stopped the conversation and looked at. What? Did you just say Deep Impact? Did you say the movie Deep Impact?
Not an obvious choice.
Now, you're talking about the theatrical, the big theatrical hit with the comets, Deep Impact, or the porn ripoff with the same title?
The ones with the comets. Yeah.
Comet. Okay.
Because the other one had a lot of tails, but no comments. Hey, good night.
Hey, thank you.
What part of the movie did you cry at? And then we're going to take calls for movies that make guys cry, especially if they're embarrassing for you.
Well, it's the part where they realize they can't blow up the comet on their own, so they have to actually kill themselves with all the nukes and land on the comet and blow it up themselves.
Oh, so they have to sacrifice themselves.
Yeah,
you're talking about Armageddon.
No.
Oh, Deep Impact.
No,
okay.
Armageddon was weak, dude.
Armageddon is in my top 10, bitch.
Well, that's...
That movie rules.
But those movies came out. Some of them got away.
Some of them, yeah.
Yeah, everybody survived except
Bruce Willis.
Right. Yeah, he's like, no.
Oh, which one was Deep Impact, Dave? Who was the president in Deep Impact?
Was it Morgan Freeman?
Yeah.
Okay, and who was the president in Armageddon?
Who knows?
Some dude.
Yeah.
That's the only way to keep those movies straight is who was the president, because otherwise they are identical.
But I think it was Billy Bob Thornton that was running the space program, right? That got the guys together on Armageddon.
Yeah, in Armageddon, yes.
Yeah, okay. But the Deep Impact was like a secondary ripoff. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, whatever. But we're going to fight over this. But all their families are getting together to say goodbye.
Right.
But one family couldn't make it. The wife of this astronaut, him and his newborn baby, they couldn't make it.
Right.
And then, so he's all bummed out. And then finally, she rushes in the end, and they finally get to say goodbye to each other.
Where do they say goodbye? Just before they're going up?
Over the video before, right before.
The video feed. Okay.
Yeah, video feed, right before.
Just like Armageddon, that's what you're saying.
No.
Okay. Here's the clip of where Dave cried. This is the point where Dave cried. The guy's talking to his wife and kid.
Hello, Warren.
Show me where you brought him.
He's holding up a little rocket. It's a mighty powerful rocket you got there. I can hear him, I know. Mary, I'm hugging you both right now.
Prepare to synchronize the nukes.
23.
Not really hugging them both right now. Not really doing that.
Synchronize the nukes.
By the way, that mighty powerful rocket you got there, that was also in the porn movie called Deep Impact, which is weird.
He was blinded by the sun, man, and he never saw his kid, but he finally got a chance to hear him. That's
did somebody
so
order
sad.
Mexican?
David,
you're a homo.
How much did you cry, Dave?
I didn't, like, ball up, but I shed a tear here and there. But every time I see it, same spot.
Same thing.
It always happens to me.
Was it because you looked around and realized you were in your living room and it was a Saturday night and you were home by yourself watching Deep Impact? Was that why you were crying?
Maybe. But nonetheless, it was every time I watch it, it gets me every time.
The exact same scene in Armageddon gets me with the Bruce Willis and the Liv Tyler. It is. It's the exact same thing. He realizes he's going to die. Everybody realizes he's going to die. They hook up a video. Same thing, except for it's his daughter. Liv Tyler plays his daughter.
Am I right about this? We're not looking for movies that everyone cries at, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think the embarrassing ones are better. Because seriously, who cries at Deep Impact?
Nobody.
Armageddon, maybe.
But if you cry at, Rudy, then we understand, because it's the big emotional story where the kid goes in, he plays for Notre Dame. I mean, everybody cries at that, right? That's not embarrassing, right? That's just me?
That's just you, yeah. Sean in Huntington Beach, good morning.
Hello.
Hi there. What do you cry at?
Terminator 2.
Terminator 2?
But you realize you voted for that guy? When you're watching the movie, you go, oh, I made him governor.
What part?
It's at the end of the movie when the Terminator gets lowered into the molten lava.
Oh, the very, very tear-jerking molten lava.
No. He's almost, like, when he's lowered into the lava, right before he's completely lowered in, the Terminator sticks up his right hand and gives him the thumbs up.
Oh.
So sad.
Yeah. That's gay.
Goodbye, John Connor.
Right yeah, there. It's that one part where it's like, are you crying? No.
You're a homo.
All right.
Thank you, Sean, for the call.
Guys, what about Gladiator? That one shows up on lists.
Oh, yeah, that's
Maximus finally dies. I mean, people get teared up about that. Yeah, right? But that's... Nothing embarrassing about crying at a Gladiator movie, right?
You can understand that. But
Braveheart, too. Braveheart.
Braveheart, sure.
Oh,
yeah,
my
same thing.
God, yes.
That one's a real... Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That one's really tear-jerky. But what would you say, Bean, if somebody cried at, say, Bad Santa?
Well, that doesn't make any sense. That's a comedy.
Well...
Psycho?
Well, you know, there's some sad parts.
You're a homo.
Some really sad parts.
Set up the clip. What's this?
Well, this is just one of the many parts of the movie where you realize Billy Bob Thornton's new friend, or seemingly his friend, the little boy in the mm-hmm. movie, really doesn't have a lot of other friends besides Billy Bob Thornton, and maybe their relationship isn't what the kid perceives it to be.
I thought maybe at least since I did good in school, maybe he'd bring me a present, because last year and the year before that, he didn't bring me any presents, even though I'm a dipshit loser.
Jesus f-ing Christ, kid. Why do you talk about yourself that way? Let me give you some news. I'm not Santa Claus, all right? As a matter of fact, I'm living f-ing proof that there's not a Santa Claus.
I know there's no Santa. I just thought maybe you want to give me a present because we're friends.
Come on.
Aww.
That's sad.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah, it's sad.
But cut, print. Gay.
But,
oh, come on.
But in the whole context of the whole movie, it's all kind of dark and funny and ugly and...
It's kind of sad, but it's not weepy sad.
Yeah, it's
because I'll
like,
cry well, at anything,
cry
and
sad.
That didn't make me cry.
You know how you just said the whole context of the movie is dark, twisted,
yes.
and ugly? Maybe it just hits me right where my heart is because I myself internally am dark, twisted, and ugly.
That's true. Kevin. That's true.
Isn't You're the first that time, little boy.
Is
You're
it
that
the first
fat
time,
little boy,
First
aren't
and
you?
Only time you've ever cried?
No. Oh. But maybe Lisa's also right. I was a fat blonde kid. I somehow developed into this.
No friends.
Yes, I'm kidding. You douchebag.
Okay.
That was the best thing I ever heard.
Billy Bob is your guy because he actually starred in another movie called The Man Who Never Cried. I don't know if you've seen that one or not, but that seems kind of appropriate to this conversation, too, about a guy who can't show emotion.
Let's go to Rick in Los Angeles. Good morning, Rick.
Hey, good morning, Kevin, B, Lisa May.
Hello, Rick.
Hi. So, Red Dawn, when Patrick Swayze's swinging his brother on the swing and he's telling him, Maddie, Daddy's on his way to pick us up, but he's actually bleeding to death in his arms and the big bad Russian guy has got him in his crosshairs to let him go out of pity.
Yeah. You cried at
well,
that, huh?
When you describe it like that, how could you not well up?
I thought it was a good idea to show me that movie at 8, about 3 months after my parents' divorce.
Oh, well, that's different if you're a kid. That's different.
Yeah,
I mean, that was a sad scene because it was wasn't it his brother or was
yeah,
his son?
His brother.
His brother, yeah. He was holding him in his arms. He was dying, the whole thing. Did you cry at this part?
I'm a Wolverine, and my hatred keeps me warm. A Wolverine.
Well, I did cry at King Kong.
Are you King Kong?
Kidding.
And I'm the gay one.
This is the Jack Black and Naomi Watts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
Naomi Watts,
a years
by
back.
The way, she's hot.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
And you don't want to see her sad.
Right? Oh.
So it wasn't so much that the, you know, the ape got killed.
It wasn't?
Or the gorilla or the monkey or whatever it was. No, it was that how sad it made her. Because you never want to see her sad.
You're trying to turn this into
I
some
am,
sort
yes.
of macho thing.
Yeah. He falls and they do the close-up on Naomi Watts. And she's crying. But then they follow that up quickly with something that makes you laugh out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And so you feel a little bit better about yourself.
Why'd he do that? Climb up there and get himself cornered. The ape must have known what was coming.
It's just a dumb animal. Doesn't know nothing. What does it matter? Airplanes got him.
It wasn't the airplanes. It was beauty killed the beast.
That is 8 seconds of the worst dialogue in any movie ever.
That is their homage to the original, though. That's how. Don't that's care. What happens in the 1933 original.
Oh, it is. Okay. Because yeah. Jack Black is the guy that brings him over, and Jack Black's the guy who says that. And I was, and I wanted to yell, no, you did, a-hole.
Bad in 33, bad in 2000.
Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for us on a Friday morning. Hey, Ralph.
Stop saying hello to me. You're on tape. Oh, you're crazy. You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. The boys are on vacation. However, I'm still here live in the studio, along with Psycho Mike, bringing you the latest and greatest in showbiz news with the Showbiz Beat. I want to mention again, I made a mention earlier about an hour ago, about the Transformers screenings you can catch at the Arclight Hollywood before the movie officially opens on the 3rd. I want to bring it up again because I've been informed that the first two performances on July the 2nd are already sold out. Here's what the Arclight Cinemas in Hollywood is doing. They are doing all-night screenings of Transformers the night before it officially opens. So July the 2nd, beginning at 8 o'clock at night, all the way through the night into the morning of the 3rd, they will be showing the Transformers on their giant 86-foot widescreen with their JBL sound system. It really is one of the best places in all of Los Angeles to see a movie. So the first two screenings of that evening are already sold out. So if you want to get tickets for next week, you might want to get online and order them now at ArclightCinemas.com. Great thing about this theater is that when you buy your ticket, it's a reserved seat. They've got row and seat numbers just like a concert. So you know exactly where you're going to sit, and you don't have to worry about getting there early to get a decent seat because you'll already be set up. And the cool thing is, too, there at the theater, they're going to have Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, and Ironhide, the actual semi, the Chevy Camaro, and the pickup truck that transforms into those robots.
You're going to have them there?
Yeah.
Nice.
That Camaro, by the way. I don't think it's even out yet, that Chevy. I think that's a...
No, but I think this movie is a big advertisement for it. It comes out, I think, you know, later 2007, early 2008.
Yeah, I got to get me one of them.
It's a cool car.
It's a sweet-looking ride.
It's a cool car.
Mike and I saw Transformers last night at the special K-Rock screening. I want to thank all the K-Rock listeners who came out for that. We had a good time. But we'll be talking more about the movie next week when it comes out. But I wanted to give you a heads up, since these showings are selling out already, I wanted to give you the information so maybe you can get in there and see it on the 2nd if you want to see it early. Let's take a look at some of the showbiz news, shall we? Paris Hilton has fled to Maui, Hawaii. She took off incognito yesterday from LAX. You wouldn't even know it's her. If you look at the photos at TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website, she's got a long black wig on, and she's wearing the biggest straw hat you've ever seen in your life.
You look like a whore.
She looks like an ass, is what she looks like, but she thinks she's in disguise. Instead, she just draws more attention to herself by wearing a straw hat that Robinson Crusoe would put together himself from pond fronds when he was stranded on the island.
Does she really think she's in disguise, Ralph? I mean, is she that oblivious to the fact that everybody in the world's going to go, hey, look at that lady in that gigantic weird hat?
Even when she's trying not to draw attention to herself, she has to draw attention to herself.
Right.
It's tragic for so many reasons. Speaking of tragic, wow, this Chris Benoit story just gets weirder and weirder. You probably heard by now that WWE wrestler Chris Benoit apparently murdered his wife and his 7-year-old son before taking his own life. Now, in a very creepy turn, we find out that his Wikipedia entry already had the news about his wife's death even before the cops found the bodies.
So creepy.
Somebody in Chris Benoit's life knew about the murder and posted it on his Wikipedia entry on that website. Now, officials say they've traced the entry to an internet protocol address registered in Stamford, Connecticut. The weird part is Chris Benoit was in Atlanta, Georgia at the time. However, Stamford, Connecticut is the headquarters for the WWE. So they're thinking somehow, some way, someone he was connected to in a business relationship knew about the murders before the cops did.
You said it earlier in one of the earlier Showbiz Beats, and you hit it right on the nose. This is playing out like a Law & Order or a CSI. I mean, it's just so creepy.
Yeah, it's just tragic on every level. Lindsay Lohan, rather. Lindsay Lohan is not... You know what I need? You know what the problem is? I need the Optimus Prime voice changer helmet.
Throw it on.
DreamWorks and Paramount sent me a giant helmet. Looks like Optimus Prime from the Transformers, and it transforms your voice. So I just realized the reason I was not sounding so good is because I didn't have it on. Hold on a second. I'm going to put this on.
I have to apologize to Dave. Ralph came in earlier this morning and said, "Where's my Optimus Prime helmet?" And I said, "You know Dave stole it, but it turns out it just hadn't arrived yet."
I am Optimus Prime. There we go. Lindsay Lohan was found to have double the legal amount of alcohol in her bloodstream when she was pulled over for DUI. According to tests, she also had cocaine in her bloodstream.
Wow.
Lindsay Lohan is a Decepticon.
That isn't good for you.
She is also a firecrotch. Isn't that right, Brandon Davis?
Lindsay Lohan is a firecrotch. It's disgusting.
Oh, I'm going to start doing every showbiz beat as Optimus Prime.
I love it.
Just the most fun I've ever had in the world. And we finally found out what scares Johnny Depp. He's a guy who's on top of the world, one of the biggest movie stars in the world. Got everything going for him. Beautiful wife, beautiful kids, lives in Paris, France. According to Star Magazine, they've just released a list of celebrities and their biggest fears. Johnny Depp, afraid of clowns.
That one's kind of common, though.
Scared of clowns. It might be time for the Kevin and Bean Show to talk to listeners again about their weirdest fears. It's always fascinating what gives people the willies. Christina Ricci is afraid of houseplants, for example.
That's just stupid.
That's odd.
Yeah.
But no, you know, sometimes you're walking along, you trip and you fall and your face goes into a houseplant. Next thing you know, you got a houseplant in your face.
I've ended up with my face full of bush many times.
Oh, stop it. Justin Timberlake is afraid of spiders. What? Scarlett Johansson afraid of roaches. Orlando Bloom's afraid of pigs. It's like, I'm like, you're afraid of pigs too, aren't you?
That's right. You got to be under at least 116 pounds.
Oprah's afraid of gum.
Oprah's afraid of gum because it's something she chews and can't swallow.
That's right.
You know?
Like she doesn't. Mm. Zach Braff's afraid of needles. That's pretty normal. But Nicole Kidman, this is an odd one, afraid of butterflies. The dreaded butterfly frightens Ms. Kidman.
I can't think of a less threatening animal.
Well, I did a little research, and apparently Nicole used to live on a farm in Australia. And when she would come home from school, she would cut through this field that was apparently just infested with butterflies. And they often would swarm her and land all over her. And that scarred her as a child. I'm not kidding. Scarred her as a child and wigged her out forever.
That would be kind of freaky. I mean, imagine
as a
thousands
kid,
of
butterflies just landing all over you.
Your Stephen King movie.
Look, a swarm of anything is no good.
Right.
Okay, any kind of insect, when there's a lot of them, just turns me right off.
I smell horror film.
Yeah. You know, in my neighborhood, we got a cricket problem, cricket issues. I'm not kidding. And if you move your trash cans or something during the day, they all hide under there because they come out at night,
right.
You know? And it's just thousands and thousands of crickets. And ordinarily, not a very intimidating animal, the cricket. But freaks me out when there's a bunch of them.
I agree. Seeing a lot of a little animals, if that makes sense. A ton of really small animals is actually a little bit freakier sometimes than, like, one lion.
Exactly. Like, I love hummingbirds. We've talked about this before, how I'm fascinated with hummingbirds. If a swarm of hummingbirds started flying around me,
the sky is black of hummingbirds.
I'd have to change my undies.
Yeah.
That's all I got to tell you. Today's celebrity birthdays, Nicole Scherzinger
of
the Pussycat Dolls is 29 years old today. She's pretty hot. I know the Pussycat. Stop humping the bell, Psycho Mike. comedian Richard Lewis is 60 years old today. Gary Busey turns 63. And Don Dokken of Dokken, he's 54 years old. Stop humping the bike.
I'm sorry.
What? Stop humping the bell. Psycho Mike. I'm putting the helmet back on. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You got to make a living somehow, right?
Sure, and why pay a professional to do it when you can do it yourself? I don't know how we got on the topic the other day of talking about this. Maybe it was one of the endless conversations that people have about ways to make extra money on the side. And it just seems like we live in the golden age, if you've got a little bit of motivation, that you can actually make a ton of money in the private, in the comfort and the privacy of your own home by just setting up some sort of internet porn site. I mean, whether you're on it or not, it just seems like there's almost unlimited money out there available for people to watch porn on the internet.
It's the golden age of homegrown porn.
It certainly is. It certainly is. In fact, amateur porn has never been more popular than it is before. I saw a statistic the other day that said something about mainstream. The big porn companies are down something like 20% in the last 5 years. And you know anything about porn, you know that the profits never go down in porn. But apparently amateur porn, people just, you know, with a webcam at home or taking their own pictures of their own girlfriend or whatever, that's apparently eaten into the deal there, you know, from the pro companies. And it turns out, Lisa, you've got a friend who kind of had the same thought and actually made something of it, right?
Do you mind if I just...
The following is rated MALV. It contains strong language and violence. It is intended only for mature audiences. Viewer discretion advised.
I think we're covered now.
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Right. Your discretion is advised.
All right.
We're fine. We're fine, Kevin.
My friend is actually my self-defense partner, and we got paired up about 4 months ago.
The reenactments and commentary in this program may contain frank talk of a sexual nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
All right. Sorry. Is he videotaping you in your class? Is that
somehow ending up
on a website? We don't know about it?
The following program contains adult language and subject matter. Viewer discretion advised.
All right. Let her talk, Kevin.
I'm trying.
Anyway, I'd actually kind of known him for a couple of years, but I never really...
This program contains graphic images which may be disturbing to sensitive viewers. The people profiled all survived. Discretion is advised.
Okay.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Never really talked to him.
The following program contains dialogue of a sexual nature. If you have kids or you are offended when other people use the words tits, f***er, blowj*** or asshore, proceed with caution.
Okay, so anyway, then I found out what he does for a living.
I don't even know what you're talking about now.
Of course you have.
You are listening to a radio show that is intended for adults and may feature conversations between adults about things adults do in the privacy of their own homes sometimes in their cars. If they're lucky, in a stairwell or an elevator.
All right.
I mean, come on. Can a brother get some in an elevator? Parental discretion is advised.
All right. I've lost the whole thread of this conversation. Lisa, is it a self-defense class? That's what we're talking about?
Yeah. This is my friend Glenn, who I know from my class, and he does very well with some websites that he's put up that include video with little things that he directs.
Okay. Let's find out about that. Glenn, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, how are you?
Good morning.
Hi, Glenn.
Lisa May, not to get off topic, like we haven't done that enough. Lisa May is always pretending that she can kick someone's ass because she's got like a blue belt with a yellow stripe or something on it.
Green.
Whatever. Is she any good at this self-defense stuff or is she just all talk?
Have you seen the movie Kill Bill?
Of course. Sure. Of course, yeah.
She is Uma Thurman. She has an exploding heart punch and she will knock you down and out.
Hey, Glenn, we work with her.
We know the truth.
Look, I have to be nice to
her.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I see. So if we make her mad, she's going to pull our heart out?
Well,
yeah, you
got to
kick her a couple times and get her going, and then she turns into a whirling dervish.
Dude, Glenn, we had a candy bar in the office. We told her to cut in two, and she broke her hand on it. It was a candy bar.
It was a 10-pound Hershey bar.
Anyway, we're off topic again.
Candy bar, though, right?
So, Glenn, we're off topic. I apologize. So you make money with porn on the internet.
Yes, absolutely. We do something called erotic femdom, erotic female domination, which is sort of different than the traditional S&M of the past where you had stern-looking women inflicting pain upon men.
Right.
Sort of like Lisa. What we do is we take absolutely gorgeous, sexy women and have them using men as sex slaves.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Now, how long have you been running Mean Bitch Productions?
About 5 years now.
Okay, and did you have any kind of background in making movies or show business or anything like that before you started the site?
No, none whatsoever.
Then how'd you get it started? Like, how did you go about finding models and things like that for it?
Well, my first model approached me. I had started up a company to design websites for mainstream actresses, which turned out to be kind of a bad idea because rule number one of any business should be to sell to customers who have money to spend.
Right.
Unlike mainstream actresses. But one girl approached me and said, will you do an adult site for me? And I said, no, I'm a respectable businessman. I'm way above that sort of thing.
Sure.
And she was gorgeous and blonde and busty and said, I can be very persuasive.
And then you said, what does that mean?
Right. And then I found out, and I did. I ended up doing a site for her.
So now you run an entire company. Is this all you do now?
Yeah.
So you quit your job. Now all you do is run websites and direct porn.
And they have different, they're like fetish websites, right, Glenn? And they have different focuses. And he's got several of them,
like,
don't you?
What do you have, Glenn?
I've got meanbitches.com.
Okay.
meanamazonbitches.com, which features kind of bigger women dominating smaller guys.
Sure.
I've got one called MeanDungeon.com, which is really a little bit more into the old world of S&M, where we have a little dungeon thing going. And then one called DeviantDavid.com, where this old man gets dominated by a bunch of younger women.
Are any of these movies featuring the lovely Lisa May?
Well, we've asked numerous
yeah.
times.
All right.
It's so funny. After Damn class, it. Glenn has to go buy like handcuffs and stuff so he can go to work.
Yeah, I'll be back. I got to go get some handcuffs and some lube and poppers.
Exactly.
Let me ask you a couple of technical questions here. Number one is, how do you get your sites to stand out in the millions of porn sites that are on the internet? How do you get people to find you?
Yeah, first off, you got to do something unique. It's so easy to get into porn these days that if you just set up a site with two people having sex, it's not going to stand out. So we tried to pick something that was different. I mean, there's a market for everything. If you wanted to do a website on armpit hair, there'd be an audience out there looking for it.
Well, I hope not.
Glendale.
You're already about to get killed. Why don't you just shut up back there?
Exactly. Although that's a good point, Sicko. And all of your sites are pay sites. What's the average customer pay to be a member of one of your sites?
They pay about $20 a month. And the great thing is about female domination fans is that they're very loyal. I mean, they stick with us. A lot of them have been with us for years, and a lot of them join every single one of our sites and buy every single one of our products.
Glenn, I don't want any details, unless you want to give them, of course, but do you make more money now than you did before? Before you went into porn? Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't go into specifics, but I'll say I drive a convertible Mercedes, and I live in a big house with a nice pool, and I make all those payments with no problem. It's very good money.
And he sleeps in the morning.
Oh, yeah, you son of a bitch.
Wow. So the biggest thing you got going on really is just generating new content. I would imagine every single week you're filming something to put up on one of those many sites, right?
Right, right. We film a new scene every week. I mean, that's half the job, and then the other half, is, as you say, is making the website stand out and marketing. Just finding the people out there who are every day saying themselves, God, I wish I knew where to go for female domination.
Sure.
And there's a lot.
Well, it is fascinating. And as we said when we brought you up, and it was our good fortune that Lisa knew somebody who'd actually done exactly what I was imagining, which is just to have an idea and then have the perseverance and go out there and do it. I mean, people are always complaining. I mean, that's the number one thing people complain about, is not being able to make enough money. It seems like this is something, if you can do it, anyone can do it, right?
As long as you have a good business plan. I mean, a lot of people that I know go into it saying, well, I found an investor to put in $10,000 and now I'm going to make porn. But they haven't really thought out exactly, well, how are you going to make that money back, and right, how long is it going to take, and so on.
Exactly.
As long as you got a plan, you can make money at porn, though, for sure.
Fantastic. All right, Mean Bitch Productions. And if we were going to direct anyone, what's your favorite of your sites that we can send people to if they want to check out what you're doing, Glenn?
Check out meanbitches.com.
All right.
There you go.
That's easy.
All right, Glenn. Hey, thanks so much for coming on the Kevin Bean Show, man. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Glenn.
Albert, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. What's up?
Unfortunately, we don't have as much time as we had hoped, so give us your story kind of as a – give us the brief version.
Okay, brief version. I work for Kailwind Entertainment. My boss, she's British, green eyes, big, big knockers. And I go to college, so, I'm working there as an editor and as a personal assistant. And in college, just need money. So since I'm a dude, and I'm not going to walk up to, hot chicks like Lisa May and say, hey, you want to get naked for me?
Right.
I have friends of mine that are girls, walk up to them, introduce themselves, and then they come to me. I give them my business card, and then I got to tell them how I'm all legit and how...
Right, sure. I'm sure they all think you're a scam.
Well, yeah, of course they do.
Yeah.
I'm in college. This dude, wants to see me naked. I'm a hot chick. I tell him, here's the email for my boss. You're going to be speaking to her most of the time. Plus, I make 20% off whatever chicks I bring in.
How about that?
Yeah, and I'm not even, on set when they're shooting, because...
Why not? What's wrong with you, Albert? That's the payoff.
I'm not allowed. We try to keep it as professional as possible to get these girls.
Whatever.
I've always been curious about this. When they take a girl out of, physics class at UCLA or something like that, and they go and shoot an amateur scene with her that ends up on one of these websites, how little is she willing to do that for? What is she being paid to be in that porn movie?
Okay, well, if you're a nobody, you got a nobody name, you're
just
new or whatever, we're gonna give you, a couple hundred bucks, $200, $300, $400, $500. If you got a name and we know you're gonna generate hits to our website, or we can sell more of your layouts,
right?
Yeah, you're gonna get paid upwards of a grand.
So, but you're telling me that the average, just regular, USC student or something like that, if she's the type who's open-minded to be willing to do porn, will do that and appear on the internet in a porno movie for $200, $300, $400.
Yep, because they're new.
It's a great country. It's a fantastic country we live in.
God bless America. Thank you.
God bless America. Thank you for the call, Albert. We appreciate it.
All right, let's go to Kelly, who in Corona. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
You quit your regular job.
Yes.
And you decided to own, run, and star in
adult DVDs.
Yep, and I run my own websites, too.
Wow. Okay. Look at you.
Yeah.
How tough was it to get that up and running?
Actually, I mean, it was just a big learning curve because we started about, I don't know, about 6 years ago, almost 7 years ago. But at the time, I was a vice president of a graphics company, and I had this young punk ass working for me as a graphic designer, and he approached me and said, hey, let's do an adult business. And I was kind of taken aback, and I'm like, what? Okay. So we, you know, decided we'd start with websites. And we actually had a difficult time finding young girls to star in our website. So he turned to me and said, hey, you know, you've got natural 34 double F tits. You star in it.
Well, I would have had the same thought. There's no question.
Now, wait a minute, though, everybody. 34 double Fs. It was not that long before that little punk-ass kid said to you, how about you star in it?
Yeah, that was the plan all
along. That was his
along.
First move.
Yeah, exactly. He just wanted to see you with your top off.
It is Friday, and that means we've got new movies in the theaters.
And that means Ralph Garman is here to recommend the ones he hasn't seen. Take it away, Ralph.
Well, I'll have you know, Mr. Smartass Bean Baxter actually saw one of the movies coming out this weekend. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. In the meantime, there are about 6 new movies in theaters this weekend. Let's take a look at some of them. Of course, the big movie, Transformers, opens next week. So I will be bringing you my review of that next week. So we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Movie rips.
Yeah, Psycho Mike and I and producer Alex and Lightning, we all went down to the K-Rock screening last night to catch it. So we will be talking a lot about that next week. But meanwhile, this weekend brings us what looks like the biggest chick film of all time, a movie called Evening. Oh, it's got everything chicks love in a movie. It's got marriages and falling in love and broken hearts and broads that die and cancer and mother and daughter relationships and all kinds of crap.
See, Claire Danes job?
It is. Listen to this cast. I mean, this isn't the biggest chick movie ever. Claire Danes, Toni Collette, Glenn Close, Meryl Streep, Natasha Richardson, and Vanessa Redgrave.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Star power, but man, you're right. It's like just catering
all,
to that audience.
Just it's the Steel Magnolias for this generation, basically, is what it is. Apparently, a dying woman has to share her life story with her daughters, including the passionate love affair she had when she was a young woman. So Vanessa Redgrave plays the dying broad, and Claire Danes is the young version of the same character. Here's a little scene from Evening in which the woman who's about to get married reveals to the Claire Danes character that the man she loves isn't in love with her.
I don't think that you're in love with Carl. I think you're in love with Harris.
That's ridiculous.
Is it?
I'm not in love with Harris, and Harris is not in love with me.
Are you sure?
Yes. Last night, in the middle of my rehearsal dinner, I told him that since I was 15, that I'd turned down every other guy who came along who wasn't him.
Oh, Jesus. Enjoy, ladies.
Wow.
I don't want to say this is a chick flick, but I've heard theaters showing Evening are going to have Mazingill and tampons at the concession stands where you get your popcorn and your soda. I'm just saying. That's all. I'm just saying. Also opening this weekend is Sicko. This is the new documentary by Michael Moore. You can't accuse this dude of not having a point of view. He certainly knows how to push people's buttons.
No.
His topic in this film is the crisis that is the United States healthcare system. And I think, regardless of your political affiliations, you have to admit it's pretty honked up right now in terms of who is covered by health care, who isn't, and how expensive it is to be able to cover yourself and your family with health insurance. This scene from this movie is deeply disturbing. A guy without health care coverage, without insurance, has to choose which finger he wants to have reattached to his hand after he accidentally saws two off in a work accident. I'm not kidding. Here's the scene.
He sawed off the tops of two of his fingers.
And it just zipped, and it was that quick.
His first thought?
I don't have insurance. How much is this going to cost?
The hospital gave him a choice. Reattach the middle finger for $60,000, or do the ring finger for $12,000. Being a hopeless romantic, Rick chose the ring finger for the bargain price of $12,000. The top of his middle finger now enjoys its new home in an Oregon landfill.
Dude,
This sounds like a laugh riot.
That's rough. That's rough right there.
Yeah.
Live Free or Die Hard opened this week. It opened on Wednesday to excellent, excellent reviews and even bigger box office. Of course, John McClane is back. Bruce Willis returns as John McClane, who he's had some bad days, this John McClane.
Horrible, horrible days.
Long before Kiefer Sutherland was having bad days in the 24-hour show, this guy was having some rough, rough days with some terrorists. He keeps running into terrorists wherever he goes, apparently.
Yeah, at least Kiefer Sutherland is an anti-terrorist government agent.
Right.
So poor guy's just a cop.
Just a cop.
Yeah.
With a bad streak of luck. Justin Long co-stars as the comic relief in Live Free or Die Hard. It also has an appearance by our buddy Kevin Smith, also shows up in this film. Here's a scene with Justin and Bruce Willis where Justin talks about using a gun in battle.
Hey, weren't you scared back there?
Yeah. I was scared.
Really? This is you being scared? I know. You seem really calm. Have you done stuff like that before?
Stuff like what?
Like killing people.
Not for a long time.
Yeah, but he's doing it again because he's back. I haven't had a chance to catch this yet, but I really want to. So maybe this weekend I can check it out.
Bruno's the man.
Here's the movie I caught, though, and I got to tell you, I went to see this on the recommendation of our friend Kevin Smith. I just mentioned him earlier. We had him in last week talking about Live Free or Die Hard and just the movies in general. And he said that Ratatouille, the brand new movie from the Pixar people, was one of the best movies of the year, he thought.
I'm telling you, this is like one of the best flicks you'll see all year.
Yeah, he enjoyed it. And I'm a big animation fan, as it is, especially Brad Bird, the writer-director of this film, who also did The Incredibles and Iron Giant, another one of my favorites. And I gotta tell you, this thing is not only the best of the films that he's done, and not only the best of, in my opinion, all the Pixar movies, and that's a big... big crowd, because you got Finding Nemo, you've got Toy Story. I mean, there's a lot of great animated films that
claim,
come out of there. But this is one of my the most enjoyable movies, period, let alone animated movies that I've seen in a long time. This guy should start writing live-action scripts, because it's the scripts and the characters that he comes up with that's what's as compelling as the amazing computer-generated animation in this film. Patton Oswalt stars as the lead rat in Ratatouille, and I got to tell you, I'm a huge Patton Oswalt fan.
Yeah,
I think
he's awesome.
Very, very funny. He is brilliant in this. Here's a scene where he is talking. He's a rat who dreams of being the world's greatest chef, basically. That's the premise,
right,
which, of course, sets you up for humor automatically, because you don't think of rats really as
not
experts
sanitary
in
folk.
Cuisine.
No.
Here he is talking to Linguini, the chef, when Linguini discovers that Remy, the rat, can understand him.
You understand me? So I'm not crazy? Wait a second. I can't cook. Can I? But you can, right? Look, don't be so modest. You're a rat, for Pete's sake. Whatever you did, they liked it. Yeah, this could work.
Yeah, it's heartwarming is overused. It's kind of a cliche, but it is just so charming and so funny and so moving that you feel like you're a kid watching one of these movies, you know? And speaking of kids, kids will love this, too. It works for all ages, really. So if you're a parent and you've got kids, this is one movie that your kids are going to want to see that you're going to actually enjoy yourself just as much, if not more, than they do when you go to the theater. So I highly recommend Ratatouille this weekend. Live Free or Die Hard if you're looking for a good popcorn movie. And then next week, come on back for a special movie beat on Tuesday when we talk about Transformers. Should I put on the helmet?
Yeah, put it on.
All right, hold on a second. I've got they sent me over one of these Optimus Prime voice-changing helmets. So I'm just going to stick it on real quick.
Next week, we will talk about Transformers in theaters on July 3rd. I am Optimus Prime. I walk the movie beat.
Cut! That's a wrap.
That was The Movie Beat with Ralph Garman on K-Rock.
Well, it's official now. They have a surgery for everything.
After the tummy tuck and the forehead tightener and the nose job, something still might be giving away your age, and that is your voice.
Ah, there you go.
For patients who think their trembly, raspy, or wispy words don't match their newly firm face, there's a procedure that claims to make them sound younger. It's a
Hello.
It's a voice lift.
Hello.
you can get a voice lift to make you sound younger.
And I would imagine if you do a lot of work on the phone, and maybe you're not even that old, but you sound old, this would be really cool. Although, how do they do it?
Well, sometimes what happens is, I'll tell you how they do it in just a second. We have the doctor on hold.
Right.
But, one of the doctors is quoted saying there are people who pay $15,000 for a facelift, and as soon as they open their mouth, they sound like they're 75 years old.
Right.
Because there's wobbles and tremors, and they just, their voice has become old because of a side effect of the other surgery. So you can.
All right!
So
there's
a
perfect example of someone who could use the surgery.
You could actually get a voice lift, and I thought we would talk to the doctor this morning and find out just exactly how it's done.
All right.
Is this Dr. Young, or who are we speaking with, sir?
This is Dr. Robert Sadilov.
Okay, good morning, Dr. Sadilov.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
We're doing fine.
Me too.
you heard on hold, we were talking about the voice surgery that you are doing there in Philadelphia.
Absolutely, yeah.
Can you tell us in layman's terms, please, how it is done? Is it a shot? Did they actually cut open your neck? What do they do?
Here at Graduate Hospital, we have two different techniques we use to make the voice sound more youthful and more pleasant.
Okay.
First of all, you can get implants inserted through an incision in the neck, and that brings the vocal cords closer together.
Implants?
Yeah.
Huh. You're very happy.
I am.
Okay.
And listen how great my voice sounds.
It sounds wonderful.
It's very soothing, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to ask if you've had the surgery. Is this you post-surgery, or
have
you just been...
I've had eight surgeries.
How old are you, sir?
I'm 41.
Okay.
But my voice used to sound like this.
Oh, I see.
But now I sound much more pleasant on the phone, don't I?
Okay, now how does that work if you just get implants?
It brings the vocal cords closer together.
Okay.
Giving them a more gentle timbre.
I see. All right.
Or we can have substances like fat or collagen that can be injected right into the cords, and that plumps them up and gives the same youthful limberness.
Really?
Absolutely.
Now, what kinds of people come into your office for the surgery? Is it folks who have phone jobs, like Lisa said, that they just sound old?
Absolutely. People who spend a lot of time on the phone. People who yell quite a bit and find their voice gets hoarse in the course of the day. Also, professional radio personalities like yourself.
Is that right?
To make you sound more youthful, more hip, more with it.
Because we talk so much for a living, our voice is going to start wearing out.
And people would like to hear something nice when they turn on the radio, don't you think?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So should I start talking like this?
I think you should. It sounds pretty good to me.
How much is the surgery?
Well, it varies. We can start you off at around $15,000.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, it's a little pricey. We're still working out the kinks.
Then I don't want the surgery yet.
About $10,000.
Okay, fine. Now we're getting better. Now, Doctor.
$7,500.
Okay. $7,500, great.
So many of these surgeries that we hear about for the first time, it's because celebrities who have nothing but money to burn are the ones who are making them popular, making their need for the service. Do you
have
any celebrity clientele at your office?
I've got a waiting room full of them right here, as a matter of fact.
Right now?
Yeah.
No kidding. Who do you have there?
Oh, well, Jack Nicholson's here.
Can we talk to Jack?
It's his birthday. He's having a little voice work done.
Oh, he already...
Come on, let me get him. Jack, can you
come on? Fantastic. Jack Nicholson. What a surprise.
Yeah.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good, Jack.
Glad to hear it.
You sound much younger.
Yeah.
See, it's a good thing.
Wow.
You can't handle the truth.
Why? Kind of sounds like Jack on helium a little bit.
What?
You may have gone a little too young.
I think you need a lot of drinks, Lisa May, to kill the bug that's up your ass.
But Jack, a guy like you who's famous almost for his voice and for his delivery, it enhances the characters that you play in the movies. Why would you want to get the surgery?
Well, it turns out the ladies love it.
Oh, is that right?
And with all the yelling I do at Lakers games, it's kind of been rough on the old windpipe, you know what I'm saying?
I guess that makes sense. Wow.
Absolutely.
Now,
I think it's really turning out pretty well. So, what the hell?
Hey, Jack, it's changing as you talk.
Jack,
it's changing as...
He sounds like a duck. It's gone horribly wrong.
Oh, no. I hope they can reverse this.
What's going on?
What? What? Jack? Jack, we're having trouble making out what you're saying. Jack? Hello, Jack?
He squeaks when he laughs.
It sounds like Jack needs to go back in for some more surgery.
He might have tightened
my vocal cords up a little too much.
Yeah, too much. Well, good luck with that.
Hey, thanks so much,
Kelly. Okay. Bye now.
Right now for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
Hey, boys and girls. You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. We'll return you to that program in just a few moments. But in the meanwhile, I am live here in the studio along with Psycho Mike, and we're bringing you the Showbiz Beat, all the latest and greatest in showbiz news. I want to read a quick email to you, Psycho Mike, before we get started here.
Go ahead.
Hey, Ralph and Mike. I've been enjoying how you have had the week to scrape away the waxy buildup of the morning show and make it funny and masculine again. But you guys need more segments. Declare anarchy and take over the rest of the show today, Julie. How sweet is that? Isn't that nice of her?
That is. Thank you, Julie, very much. Would it be that easy? Could we just...
Well, Julie, we would do that, but unfortunately, Kevin and Bean, when they go on vacation, they place these collars around our necks that have remote control C4 devices on them, and if we try to do too much on the show and be too funny or too entertaining, they press a button and our heads blow clean off our bodies.
It's like in Logan's Run, there was an age limit. We have a funny limit. If the show gets too funny with them gone,
they get very threatened, and they just push the button. It's all over. So you're very kind. By the way, Julie adds in the email, P.S. Please force Dave to pronounce the word cell correctly on the air. That would be rather amusing.
It's impossible.
Cell phone. I was using my cell phone.
All through LA.
All through LA.
Pressing the buttons.
Satan. Cotton. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Keep in mind, all weekend long, we are giving away tickets aboard the K-Rock jet to San Francisco to see the Smashing Pumpkins. This is an amazing, amazing trip. It is the Smashing Pumpkins live at the Fillmore in San Francisco. Every time you hear the Pumpkins being played here in K-Rock all weekend long, if you're caller 20 at 1-800-520-1067, you automatically win, and you board the K-Rock jet to San Francisco.
Oh, something.
Round trip, airfare, hotel, two tickets to see the Pumpkins at the Fillmore, and $106.7 in spending cash. 18 years or older to go on the trip. Keep that in mind, but it's pretty cool. And I also want to let you know, a lot of people have been writing me because they've heard me mention, but they didn't catch the details, that if you want to see the Transformers, Mike and I saw the film last night, and I'm telling you, we dug it the most. It is coming out, of course, next week on the 3rd, which I believe is a
Tuesday.
But if you want to see it Monday, if you want to see it before it comes out, the Arclight Theaters, the Arclight Cinemas, rather, in Hollywood, is showing it starting Monday night all the way through the night into Tuesday morning. It'll be the first theater in Los Angeles that will be showing it. So if you'd like to go to those special performances, starting at 8 o'clock and continuing all night long at the Arclight Cinemas, go to ArclightCinemas.com, and that's how you can purchase and print your reserved seat ticket. Here's the cool thing. The Arclight is the only theater I know of in Southern California where you can buy your ticket, and it's like a concert. It gives you a row and a seat number, so you're already reserved. You don't have to worry about getting there early. And they've got a restaurant there, and a great bar, and also the Optimus Prime truck, the Bumblebee Chevy Camaro, and the Ironhide GMC pickup will also be there. You can check them out live and in person. So pretty cool thing if you want to check the Transformers out before... it comes out on Tuesday. Let's take a look at a few of the showbiz stories that are in the news today. Lindsay Lohan was even a little bit more worked up than we thought when she got pulled over for DUI. Not only was she legally drunk, but she had nearly twice the legal amount of alcohol in her bloodstream.
Wow.
So that, let's see, 0.08 would be the legal. So she was 0.16, right?
0.16 or more. They just say twice. They don't say, well, wow. Right on the money.
Wow.
And also, she's a little chick. I mean, that's a lot of booze.
Well, you've seen those pictures of her passed out in the passenger seat. She knows how to put it back.
So hot.
Word is also that she had traces of cocaine in her system. Shocking. Yeah. Since the cops found some cocaine in the car. By the way, I love how the cops say they found a usable amount of cocaine in her car. What's usable? You know, I know friends of mine can use a whole lot of it.
I know friends of mine that would be happy with just a very little
That's
amount.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
What's usable? We're not sure. Britney Spears can't seem to stay out of trouble, so she's looking for attention. Star Magazine is reporting that she's driving her Mercedes CLK 350 without front or back license plates. I guess she doesn't need them. Maybe her Mercedes transforms into something.
It's more than meets the eye.
She becomes Sludipus Prime or something.
I think she's just desperately begging to get pulled over or have something happen to her, negative or positive, so that she can surmount Paris on the attention scale.
Yeah, speaking of Paris, she is fleeing the contiguous United States. Going to Maui, Hawaii for a little vacation. She left yesterday. TMZ.com has photos of Paris in disguise at LAX. She's wearing a black wig and the biggest straw hat you've ever seen. She looks like an extra in some Broadway musical about Santeria or something. She looks like some sort of someone's interpretation of a native in some Caribbean island. But she looks like an ass, and it's obviously her. And so it's the most conspicuous disguise I've ever seen, quite frankly. You can check that out at TMZ.com. And further developments in the story about pro wrestler Chris Benoit, the murder of his wife and child, and then his suicide. I mentioned all day today that it got weird when it was discovered that his Wikipedia entry over at Wikipedia.org listed the fact that his wife was dead several hours before local authorities found the bodies. Now, reportedly, the author of that entry has stepped forward and said that he was just effing around, basically.
That's impossible.
He says that Chris missed a match.
Right.
And that he was speculating on what tragedy could have caused him to miss a wrestling match. And so the author, who claims to have written this entry, said, I just, based purely on speculation, said that it was the death of his wife. That's what kept him away from the wrestling match.
Oh, well, it's easy to draw that conclusion. Who wouldn't just pull that out of thin air?
It does sound fishy at best. But this guy says it was just a coincidence, and it was an unfortunate coincidence, and he needs everyone to move on.
No, just forget about it.
So I doubt the officials will take that as an answer. I'm sure they'll be further looking into it.
Creepy.
Very. Today's celebrity birthdays, Nicole Scherzinger of the Pussycat Dolls is 29 years old today. Psycho Mike has ruined that bell forever now. Gary Busey, 63. Comedian Richard Lewis is 60. And you know our pal David Alan Greer?
Of course.
He celebrates his birthday tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But, of course, we won't be on the air tomorrow. So I wanted to give him a shout-out because I know Dag listens to the show from time to time. So if he happens to be listening, I want to wish him a happy birthday.
Knowing how he spends his normal days, how does Dag go? I mean, he must just go off on a birthday.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine how many hookers he must have at one time?
It's like Rick James in his heyday just locks himself in his house with blowing hookers. And
forget about it. I wish I was on his party list.
Fantastic.
Everybody have a great weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And you can say what you want about our vice president, but there's no amount of money that anyone would ever want to receive in order to have sex with him. Give me a little bit of the vice president's theme again. I love that song. Would you mind?
Absolutely.
Mr. Cheney's been in the news, of course, a lot this week.
Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick.
There you go. Here's the story from Bagram, Afghanistan. A suicide bomber attacked the entrance to the main U.S. military base in Afghanistan on Tuesday during a visit by Vice President Dick Cheney, killing up to 23 people and wounding 20. Cheney was unhurt in the attack, and we have him on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Mr. Vice President.
So?
No, I was just saying good morning, just saying hello to you, sir. How are you? You rattled a little bit by the suicide bomber?
I find that question out of line.
Well, I mean, it did just happen. There was a suicide bomber while you were in Afghanistan.
So?
Right. We were just wanting to know how you felt, if it was a little bit nerve-wracking. I mean, I know, of course, it's
no,
dangerous. You,
no,
you recognize that?
Of course not.
No?
That didn't bother me at all. No, I can't be killed.
What do you mean you can't be killed?
I can't be killed. What did I just say?
Well, you
are
said,
you not listening?
You said something that doesn't make sense. As human beings, we can all be killed.
I cannot.
You can't.
No.
Are you telling us you're not?
Well, except for holy water or a stake through my heart.
Okay.
The only two things that can actually hurt me.
I got you.
Maybe a silver bullet.
So not a suicide bomber. It has to be a silver bullet.
That's right. It has to be a little bit more than their lame attempts to question authority.
All right. Yeah, that's what they said it was for, yeah.
It did kill 23 people and wound 20, so they obviously got fairly close to, you know, to where people were on the base. How far away were you from the explosion, sir?
I was inside the base, and the bomb apparently went off at the gate.
The gate of the...
So right. I was quite a distance away, so they failed to question authority.
I read that you did, you were taken to a bomb shelter for a brief segment of time.
Yes, whenever I... whenever I'm in danger, I like to go underground, preferably inside a coffin, where I rest, garner my energies, and then once again stalk the night.
Okay. All right. I noticed, Mr. Vice President, we rarely see you outside during the day, and now it's starting to make sense to me.
You've never seen me look in a mirror either.
No. Interesting.
Nor eat garlic.
Well, we've never really had the opportunity to see any of that.
I'm not saying anything.
Okay.
No, no, you're not.
All right.
So so everything's fine. You're good. And how are things going in Afghanistan? Do you feel like you accomplished something?
Couldn't be better. We are on track in Afghanistan.
But the Taliban, by all accounts, sir, has been regrouping in Afghanistan and in Pakistan and is approaching the level of potency that it was before 9/11.
Well, I'm going to take care of that situation. I've invited some of the head members of the Taliban,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to go hunting.
Oh.
you know what I mean? A little friendly hunting trip.
I see.
For
I see.
Me and some of the Taliban.
You shoot him in the head.
Hey, there's a bird. There's another one. Oh, look at your face.
A little bit of a mishap.
Boo hoo hoo. Boo hoo hoo.
Mr. Cheney, if you don't mind me asking, is it a coincidence that you're out of the country this week as the deliberation is going on in the trial of your former aide, Scooter Libby? Because it just seems like, I don't know, you're kind of unavailable for comment because that's coming down this week.
I find that question out of line.
Well, it's just
about my Lesbo daughter. I'd rather talk about that.
Tell us about your Lesbo daughter.
She's manly. She's mannish.
That's weird.
You usually don't like to talk
She's
about her.
Not a feminine lady.
Well, she does seem to be playing the boy
not,
in that relationship.
Does not possess the feminine wiles. She has to shave.
So she doesn't look female-ish.
She is a manster.
Okay. Not womanly at all, is
she
what you're saying.
Would be the one to wear the strap on.
Oh,
Mr. Vice President.
Wow, usually you don't talk about her at all. This
is better than talking about Scooter Libby.
I guess.
Well, I got to go hunting with Scooter.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
I must think of some way to keep Christmas from coming somehow.
When there are tough questions to be asked, Bean and I are right there
to assign it to Mike so that he'll get beat up instead of us.
All right, Psycho Mike has joined us in the studio. Good morning, Psycho Mike.
Hello.
Will you please confirm for the people that Bean and I tried to talk you out of this bit?
That's absolutely asinine. Because sold me down the river like I've never seen before.
The conversation came up in the office a couple of weeks ago about the stereotype, perhaps, that African-American moviegoers talk more out loud in the theater than other races do.
The false stereotype. Sure.
The false stereotype. Of course, the false. Kevin and I said, well, that's just insane. That's just crazy. You just sound ignorant when you say something like that. Psycho Mike said, not only is it true, honky, I can prove it.
It is
what
true.
Psycho Mike said.
And much like I proved the Asians can't drive stereotype to be true, I'm now, here with an investigative report so revealing. So groundbreaking.
Well, I'm eager to hear the tape. And before we get to it, just because we do go to K-Rock Lister Anel for all black-related issues on the show, it's not a rumor, says Anel. It's not a stereotype. It's a goddamn fact. It's why the bootleg market is so big in the hood. You can take a movie home and you can talk to it all you want. On a side note, Psycho Mike has issues. Why spend all that time eating right and working out only to be killed by a mob of angry black moviegoers? God bless that boy. Free tookie. So I guess we'll find out how it went in the tape, huh?
This really threatens to shake race relations here in America.
Is that right?
Right to its core, to
is
the
this
foundation.
An investigative report?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, so you guys sent me out to the Magic Johnson Theater on Slauson.
Yeah.
And I was scared.
And by we sent you mean, hey, whatever you do, Mike, don't go to the Magic Johnson Theater is what Kevin Bean said.
That's kind of how it went. Sure. And so I figured, look, we got Charles right here in the front.
Right.
So
our security guy,
we
love Charles. He used to play drums for Little Richard.
Right.
And back in the day.
He's a black guy himself. I figured, hey, before I go out on my little quest, my little crusade, why don't I talk to Charles, see what he can help us with? How you doing, my man?
I'm doing great.
We've been curious about this for a long time, and you know, you can definitely help us out. Why is it that black people in general like to talk at the movie theater?
Well, they like to entertain while they're being entertained. You know, they just like to they talk a lot, and they like to discuss the movie while the movie's going on.
But they don't seem to mind. It doesn't bother them that they might be interrupting the movie or ruining the movie for other people?
I think they know, but some people just don't care. They just want to get their point through and everything. They just want to talk and all that jazz, you know?
All right, Charles, and why do you feel that this is exclusively a black thing?
Well, I think it's part of the culture. We love to talk a lot. I personally don't, but a lot of my brothers talk a lot. A lot of my soul brothers talk a lot.
There you go.
So black people are entertainers.
So that warned you up.
So they're naturally entertainers.
I would like to speak out as one person who is entertained by that. I do not find that disruptive at all.
You love it.
I find that very entertaining.
Well, not
everybody. I find it entertaining that Charles says he doesn't like to talk a lot. I find that entertaining.
As you said, Kevin, not everybody's bothered by it.
Right.
But Joseph, the next black gentleman that I talked to when I did make it down to the theater, he was just as bothered by it by some white folk. Now, I'm a white individual, and I was just curious about something. I've noticed a trend. Why is it that the black insist on talking during movies?
Most of them are straight ignorant, have no consideration for others who are actually there to watch the movie. And it just bothers me, too, when I'm there to actually watch a movie. And got people there that just don't want to be there and actually enjoy the movie, but want to sit there and cause commotion and talk on the phone and just whisper amongst yourself and look stupid.
It bothers you just as much as it bothers other people.
Right. By the way, he's talking about people who talk on their cell phones and different things like that. I mean, I think this is targeted at people who speak to the screen, to the people on the screen.
Because I got news for you. White people are the ones who are talking on their cell phones in two-way.
Bastards.
Yeah.
All right.
We're going to do that hard-hitting expose later.
Why do white folk talk on cell phones? So next guy I talked to is Dean. Now,
By the way, let me give you props because Psycho Mike went down there and purposely avoided the term African-American.
Oh, that's BS. There's no way I'm going to utter those words.
It's too easy to get away with when you're doing
give
this.
Give me a break. So I talked to Dean, and he's kind of like the dashiki-wearing, educated, pro-black, pro-Africa type of Negro.
Sure.
And so when I talked to him, he gave me a whole dissertation on macroeconomics that I was not expecting. Hello, sir. What's your name?
My name is Dean.
Now, Dean, you're an African-American, a black man. Is this true?
Last time I looked, yes.
Let me ask you a question. Why is it that the black individual feels compelled to talk during movies in the movie theater?
You did it. You took our suggestion to say axe.
Yeah.
I mean,
Dean,
your own decision.
People.
Right.
Yeah. See, hold on now. I'm going to say this. The thing I like about white people is that they have a plan. They have a plan for everything. This question you're asking me, it's a setup. You want to know how to make one of these theaters in your neighborhood. Because you see how much fun it is. We're not there to watch a movie. We're there to entertain ourselves, eat, get drunk, and maybe even get laid. But we're not there to watch a movie. If you go to one of our theaters, you're going to see there's a Kentucky Fried Chicken, a Church's Chicken, and a Popeye's Chicken within walking distance. You're going to find that there's a liquor store around the block.
Wow.
These people are the people that are making money for the theater. The concession stand is empty. There's nothing in there. You can't buy candy.
And who's going to pay $7 for a box of Junior Mint?
When you can have $7 worth of Bud Light.
Boom!
Wow. Was that a real guy, Mike, or is that one of your friends you put up to that?
Come on now.
I wondered what happened to Carlton from The Fresh Prince.
That guy.
Yeah, kidding.
He was a self-proclaimed Oreo.
Okay.
And so there you go. Little did we know that it's a whole money-making scheme.
Wow, I didn't realize
that.
Now,
there couldn't be a more opposite type of African individual than Tommy J. Nelson. He was completely on the other spectrum when it comes to African-American folk. What's your name?
Tommy J. Nelson.
Where are you from?
Memphis, Tennessee, born and raised.
And I just had a quick question. As you can see, I'm a white guy. You know, so there's a lot of things I don't understand about the black community. Can you tell me why black people insist on talking during movies?
Some just have a zero tolerance, and some are just ignorant. Most of us go to the movie to listen and enjoy, and most just go to kick back with their homies.
But a lot of people, they'll talk during movies. Do you have any idea why that is?
Some be talking to direct or let other people know what the movie is about, and others just be gossiping, carrying, making noise.
I love that guy.
That's right.
I do, too. He's Roosevelt from The Family Guy is who he is.
Now, then came Cassandra. I'm starting to really feel it there.
Were you ever afraid while doing this?
Oh, dude, when I first got there, I was so scared. And I mean really scared. At 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. In that neighborhood, I'm the only white guy for miles. And I'm looking around. I'm like, this might not be a good idea. But I had to suck it up, you know, because I'm dedicated as a broadcaster.
And you say that because obviously all blacks are cold-blooded killers and you're likely to get beaten just because of the color of your skin?
Yeah,
is that your suggestion here, Mike?
If I was, like, a real reporter asking real valid questions, I probably wouldn't be that scared. But I knew I was going to try to bust balls.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this might not be a good idea because I'm so outnumbered.
Did you say you were a broadcast professional?
Yes.
Okay.
And next came Cassandra. And she was so hot, like a smoking hot Nubian princess.
Really?
Yeah, she was like a young Pam Grier mixed with like a a little bit of a Beyonce going.
Wow.
Yeah, very,
dude.
Very hot, very fine. So I approached her, and she just dropped the bomb on it. She really let the cat out of the bag. So what's your name, ma'am?
Cassandra.
Are you a beautiful young black woman? Are you not?
That's what they tell me.
I have a quick question. Why does the Negro feel the need to talk during a movie?
It's a requirement.
It is.
What?
And why is that? Do you have secret black person meetings and you discuss these things when we're not around?
Yes. We talk about the ridiculousness of Hollywood movies all the time. So when we're in our own community, we're discussing it out in the open. It's like an open forum.
So you feel you're actually doing other moviegoers a service by kind of filling the holes that the movie's given us?
Absolutely.
Now, are there other requirements in the black community besides talking during movies?
Yeah, there are, but we'd have to kill you.
Oh, yeah, it's classified information. You tell me, you have to kill me.
That's right. We don't spread that stuff. That's between our people.
Okay, well, now that we've got the logistics stuff out of the way, how much do I have to pay you for a piece of your sweet chocolate ass?
How much you get on you?
7 cents and half an Abba Zabba.
You're cute, but you're not that cute. Sorry.
Aww.
Gave it a shot.
Nice try, Mike. I applaud you for going for it, though, man.
Dude, you got to load up on the cash before you ask that kind of question.
I'm nothing if not smooth, by the way.
But how do you help your fellow moviegoers if you're yelling, don't go in there, don't open that door? How does that enrich the experience for others?
It enriches mine. I love it.
There's a lot of Kevins out there, Bean. You'd be surprised.
I could listen to that all day.
All right. So I'm really rolling now.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
Feeling it. I'm like, I'm part of the community now. I'm in there.
Yeah, right.
And this is the last dude I talked to. His name was Jerome. And you can see why. Speaking with Jerome, say hello, Jerome.
What up?
Now, you appear to be a black man.
Yup.
Let me ask you a question. Why is it that the Negro feels the need to talk during movies?
What the f*** you trying to say, my nigga?
Listen, Negro, I'm your amigo. Come on, I'm just curious. Why do they have to?
Because we can.
Okay, good enough for me.
See you later.
Peace out. Thank you very much. Court adjourned.
I got to get me to a car.
I was out.
That is spectacular. I've never been called my nigga. No. Nicely done, even though we do not...
Endorse what I've done.
Endorse that or support that in any way.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Brandon Davis has joined us. Hey, Brandon, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin Moon Show on K-Rock, my friend.
Turn on my microphones.
It's not on. Oh, wait, I have them backwards. Do that.
What's wrong with
you?
There
you go. Okay.
Hello, sorry. Bean.
Hi,
hello, Kevin. Lisa, how are you?
Hello.
I thought it might be worthwhile for maybe the K-Rock listeners who don't recognize your name, Brandon, and I'm sorry if that offends you, but... there are some out there who really have no idea who you are.
Stupid
so
bitches.
I went to your Wikipedia encyclopedia entry online.
Okay.
And here's what
yes.
it says about Brandon Davis. And by the way, the entirety of Brandon Davis's Wikipedia entry is two lines. Okay? And now that I look at it, one sentence. Brandon Davis is a former model and grandson of billionaire Marvin Davis. Brandon is known almost solely for being a friend of Paris Hilton's and verbally attacking Lindsay Lohan in a video that has been posted to the internet. That is the
That's
sum
yes.
of your experience on Earth.
Well, you know, not everybody can be as prolific as my friend Paris. I understand that, you know, the entertainment industry can be rough.
Mm-hmm.
But with friends like Scott Storch
right,
and Paris,
mm-hmm.
I'm destined to make it. And I'm working hard, okay? I'm working real hard.
It seems like you're just throwing cash around and going to nightclubs and partying and that's it. You're not really doing – you don't have a movie coming out, do you? You don't have record coming out?
I do. The summer 2007, the feature film remake of the popular show Perfect Strangers will be in theaters and I play – Cousin Larry, opposite the zany Stephen Baldwin.
No, you don't.
Yes,
that's
Stephen
true
Baldwin plays Balky.
That's just not true.
We're shopping it to studios. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, we're not getting a lot of response, but you'll see.
Okay.
I'm going to take over Hollywood.
All right.
I have two quick questions for
yes.
you. One is, do you have a speech impediment? Because it seems like maybe you've got a little bit of a lisp or something.
The nerves around my mouth have gone numb from too much blow.
Allegedly.
Okay. But,
allegedly, right.
But other than that, I think my speech is quite good.
Okay. My second question is, Lisa's always complaining how cold it is here in the studio. It's about 62 degrees, yet you seem to be sweating profusely. What's up with that?
I just came in from the club boogieing down.
You boogie down?
Straight in. I boogied down for hours and hours on end.
So you're known mainly for hanging out with Paris Hilton and for saying that Lindsay Lohan has a fire crotch.
Which she, in fact, does.
Right. And is it true that your Halloween costume earlier this week was a big orange, what you called a fire crotch, on your head? Like, he dyed your hair bright orange and said it was Lindsay's fire crotch.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense, to put flames on your head and say you're a crotch. that was my costume.
Now, was the story that we heard, I think, last week that you were out of money? Is that true, that you had to have Scott Storch buy your dinner?
Times are tough. Times are tough right now, but like I said, I've got a lot of things, you know, on the horizon. I'll be making my, I'm opening my own record label, in fact.
Your own record
label?
Yes,
Sweaty Bear Records.
Okay.
Take over the industry.
This is the last time you were in.
Fire crotch.
Oh.
It's disgusting.
And I see, can't help but notice you've got a guitar with you this morning.
Yes.
Are you going to perform for us again?
Well, here's the thing, Kevin.
Yes?
Lindsay Lohan.
Mm-hmm.
Owes her entire career to me. And although we went out to dinner.
Yeah, I thought you made up with her now.
We did sort of make amends.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, it's great going out to dinner with Lindsay Lohan because my meat was a bit undercooked.
Right.
And I just threw it at the hibachi between her legs, and there you go. It was good as new.
But we made up. I thought you put all that ugliness behind you.
Sort of. As I was reflecting on life last night, as I often do at Hyde.
Sure. That's a good place to reflect
on life. I thought to myself, Lindsay Lohan has made movies.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay Lohan has made music.
Right.
Right.
But what really keeps Lindsay Lohan on the tip of everybody's tongue and on the cover of the magazines?
Yes.
Brandon Davis talking about her crotch.
Oh, I see. So you're doing her a favor.
She owes me tremendously.
She owes you because you talk about her fire crotch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Any publicity is good publicity.
Okay.
Now, is today's song also about Lindsay's fire crotch?
It is, and it is also about what I've done for her and her career.
Okay.
Through the powers of her fire crotch and her gigantic penis depot.
Okay. All right, live music now from Brandon Davis in the studio. What's the name of this one, Brandon?
This is called Lips of Glory.
Lips of Glory.
Great. Hit it, Steve. Can't really say hit it, Steve, Lisa, because I'm the only one playing music.
It's true.
Ridiculous.
He said hit it, Steve, and then started playing the guitar himself.
Right. Now I know you've had some fame, but what put you on the map is me talking about the fire pit nestled in between your lap. I know Mean Girls was a hit, Freaky Friday did well too, but your fiery little labia is the reason we know you. I know I'm just a worthless mooch.
That's true.
But I discovered flames living in your cooch. You can thank me, Brendan D, for telling the story of your lips of glory. Tell Wilma Valderrama to mow my lawn. You can thank me, Brendan D, for telling the story of your lips of glory. It's a banana split, but the cherry's long gone. Cherry's long gone. So it's a hymen joke, Lisa.
Got that.
Like two horse tongues in your pants.
Oh.
Drooping in your hips. Oh. Like Steven Tyler kissing Mick Jagger on the lips. The curtains made of beef. Right between your knees. Fire crotch is clocking 365 degrees. I know you may be young and naive, but the reason that you're famous is your crimson beef. Crimson beef. You can thank me, Brendan D, for telling the story of your lips of glory. The knuckles of the world's largest moose. You can thank me, Brendan D, for telling the story of your lips of glory. You sank the ship because your lips are loose. Lips are loose. Break it down. When Harvey Levin takes your picture. Hebrew hammer. Red snapper is all the camera sees. Red snapper, Lise. Red fish.
Gotcha.
Got it.
It looks like Patrick Ewing smiling. He had huge lips, Lisa. Or two-day-old red-headed
grilled cheese. Thank you.
Wow. Look at that, ladies and gentlemen.
Once again, well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Happy days, carded audience. Once again, I've rocked your sonic world with another hit from me, Brandon D.
That is beautiful. Thank you, Brandon.
It's my pleasure.